So this is another one of those cold opening thingies. Among other things, I've wrestled with the sound card all day today, and I can't seem to get that sorted out. Yeah, but, well, these things happen. So over the course of the weekend, I'm switching the road rig in. And so some of these problems should be sorted out by Moran Monday. That problem, at least. Hi, I'm Bob Kincaid. This is the horn for Friday on the front porch. The ninth day of August 2019. oh, what a day. What a day. What a day. So it was exactly a week ago that I told you a little bit about the chaos that swirls here and rose to a brain-splitting crescendo. Well, about 12:30 a.m. exactly a week ago. And I would be lying if I said that things were resolving. They're, you know, really pretty much not. But you know, we're muddling through, and somehow, for those of you who have seen that delightful little film, Shakespeare in Love, you'll know that the producer keeps coming to Shakespeare and asking him. Well, sounds like a great story. How does it end? And young Shakespeare answers, I don't know. It's a mystery. So that's what, I guess that's what makes everything interesting. The mystery of it. Because, well, there aren't any answers. And no closer to any solutions to a week later than we were a week ago. Got sort of close to a couple of solutions, but they evaporated. And so yeah, we'll have our little end of the week round table tete-a-tete this evening. I presume that the I probably shouldn't presume. I should go click, 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 and just find out for certain. It really does mess with me when the little, you know, when the little things that yeah, okay, great. So, yeah, the Skype link is up at headon.live. Click here to participate in Friday on the Front Porch via Skype, August 9th, 2019. Just click on that, and away you'll go, and you'll be part of the Extraordinary Ordinary Roundtable that takes place in the old holler tree that we sublet from the Keebler Elves, and is capably moderated by Sparky over these many, many years. I did the Hi, I'm Bob Kincaid part, right? Okay, yeah, I think I did. We'll get that going here in about an hour or so after we catch up with a little bit of the day's news. But every program here begins with abiding gratitude. Thank you to our subscribers for the ninth day of the month, Khalil and Kathleen. Thank you very kindly indeed. The fundraising goal as it stands for the end of the week here is $615. So that means basically today, Thursday, and Wednesday, and $15 of Tuesday. So thank you to our subscribers. You take care of about a quarter of the needs we have here to keep the program on the air every month. Thank you so much. There's some nice language that Brother Deacon Asa has put on at headon.live. If you go to Apple Podcasts or Google Podcasts, you'll find a link at headon.live. Not ready to contribute financially? Help Bob be discovered by others. Consider leaving a 5-star review on Apple Podcasts or Google Podcasts. That would be, yeah, that's really helpful. So thank you. Thank you, and thank you for coming up with that, Brother Deacon Asa. It's a great idea. Thank you. Where to... Where to begin? You know, a long time ago, it's a long time ago now, and this is just, you know, this is just all again, I say these things because they're manifestations of reality. There aren't many podcasts where you're going to, or broadcasts where you're going to tune in and hear the host talking about the day-to-day struggles of being part of the non-millionaire class of media, or of just Merca. But it was a while back when the big data breach happened at Equifax, and that credit rating company, which holds the power of life or death, more or less, well, from a financial standpoint, over an entire nation. Well, they fucked just about everybody in the United States of America by letting their data go, their financial data, their personal data, just go wandering around the internet to be used by any of the nefarious folks who lurk out there. And I suggested at the time that we needed a corporate death penalty. We need to be able to really and truly punish, to the point of elimination even, corporations that violate the people to such a degree that those corporations deserve no longer to exist. And I stand by that. Because, until we get some means of enforcing corporate accountability on outfits like that, they're going to continue to be engines of misery in this country. And I'm dealing with some of that right now. I found out, for instance, that I'm non-existent. I'm in the midst of having to do something that I didn't want to be doing. The things I like to do are get up in the morning and start doing my research and run to the Wiggling Pig if need be, or take care of this little errand or that little errand. Putter around the house, go out and play with the grill, that sort of thing. Not go wandering around car lots trying to figure out some way to purchase an automobile now that I don't have one anymore. But I've been doing that. And in the course of that, I made a couple of calls to some people I know and said, yeah, just trying to do my due diligence and get an idea of what I'd be facing. And I found out I don't exist. Because as I've told you, for years, everything here runs on cash. We don't pile up debt. There's no credit card debt here. And so I found out that if you're not kneecapping yourself with debt, you don't exist in, I guess, what we would call predatory capitalist America. I live, again, I want to be so clear when I say that this is not, oh, woe is me. This is me trying to engage in empathy and commiseration with tens of millions of Americans in exact exactly the same position. An America that can't go to the bank, but for whom an entire substrata has been built of payday lenders and legalized loan sharks. And predators who make sure that people in similar circumstances can never really remedy the situation. We have trillions, probably. Nah, not trillions, but billions, certainly, to throw down various and sundry hedge fund rat holes, and people like Bishop Willard Romney and Bain Capital can buy a company, squeeze every last penny of value out of it, immiserate thousands of people, and kick them to the curb, and then back the limousine over them while they're laying there at the curb. This country rewards those kinds of people while it defecates on the people out of whom they wring their wealth. Some of the most prosperous of banks are actually the money behind the predatory payday lending outfits. And it is by design. It's kind of like what George Carlin used to say, there's a club and you're not in it. A lot of us aren't in it. I was raised by Depression-era parents who lived in mortal dread of debt, and almost like some sort of genetic disorder, they passed it on to me because they had seen what happened to the generation ahead of them when the debt caught up. My mother had seen her father ruined, and my father had seen his father ruined by Republican economic policies of the 1920s. And so they held on for dear life and did everything in their power to stay out of debt, when in point of fact, the dirty little secret was that this country will reward debt and people like you-know-who while taking it out on people who try to be frugal, who try to avoid debt. So that's a little bit of what I found out today. And it's, well, it's worrisome. It's burdensome. It is fear-inducing. That and yet, at the same time, one realizes that no matter what the circumstances, there's always someone who has it worse. And so we queue up, look on the sunny side of life, and hope for the best. So that's kind of where I am this evening. And looks like I'm going to be here. Well, not I, we. You know, Agnes, me, our little family. And we'll just keep we'll keep rattling doorknobs until we find a door that opens to a path forward. Steve in New York asking, what did Orwell call that? An unperson? Yeah, I'm Agnes and I are economic unpersons. She too was raised by Depression era parents. She hates debt with the heat of a million billion suns. Steve adds, Steve in New York adds, what you just described sounded an awful lot like the serfs of yore. Yeah, I guess so. I guess so. Or maybe like the enclosures. We talked about the modern enclosures. But I don't. It's just got, I suppose, a more modern and shiny veneer. I've made the argument along the way through the years that consumer choices are actually moral choices. That there is a closer nexus between economics and ethics and morality than we think of most of the time. With the story of the last couple of days out of the chicken plants in Mississippi, for instance, realizing that those places run in such brutal conditions are probably where Burger King gets its chicken fries from. And then you have to start thinking about what you're actually paying for when you run through the drive-thru and you go, I like them chicken fries with that sweet and sour sauce. It carries meaning. Note coming in from Kyle in Kentucky Stan. Friday on the Front Porch is my favorite show of the week because it's always nice just to listen to some good fun conversation between friends and community members about whatever comes to mind, political or food. It's not always just food. And take mind of the heavier shit that happens every day because of the orange asshole, but tonight I'm going to miss the show because it all seems too much to handle right now, and I just need a break from news for a few hours. I wish you a good show, and I'll catch the podcast tomorrow and the next live show on Monday. Even someone like me, who loves all this political shit way too much for their own good, is getting what you may call Trump fatigue. I know a little bit about Trump fatigue. Stand by, please. Sorry, Agnes came in. Just had to tell me something. Joey, the Republicans and their cohorts will, in fact, defend any outrage of this president, including the disgusting invasion of the chicken factories in Mississippi and his totally inappropriate behaviors in Dayton and El Paso, where, interestingly, I think it was in Dayton, he posed with a little girl sitting on a bed, a 10-year-old little girl who was in no wise even associated with what happened in the Oregon district of Dayton. She was just a little girl in the hospital. But he still posed for a photo op with her. I guess he just can't resist a 10-year-old little girl in a bed. This vicious cycle has given Trump a sense that no line is too far, no inappropriate behavior, lie, or insensitive behavior is too egregious. He has not learned the rule of law and that the Constitution binds even the mighty powers of the president. He has learned that Dad and Mom were at the beach house and left the car keys and a credit card on the kitchen table. It is hard to imagine a scenario where Republicans could embarrass themselves more thoroughly than they have already, but Donald Trump will drag them down time and time again, no matter what they believe about him, hence numerous Republican House members will resign by 2020. He is the eternal Loki, a trickster god drawn to listening only to what Edgar Allan Poe refers to as the imp of the perverse. Yeah, you know, those trickster gods, they're a mess. A lot of indigenous cultures here in North America paid fearful attention and reverence to a god simply referred to as Coyote. Because Coyote was a trickster god, too. Jimmy in the Great Northwest says, yes, I can remember when I learned no credit is bad credit. It shocked me because of that time in my life, I thought bad credit was worse. Yeah, just it's not like I've got a shitty credit score. It doesn't exist at all because I'm not paying off any debt. Because I'm doing that frugality thing that, well, never mind. By the way, going back to those five-star ratings, Steve in New York says, in addition to the five-star ratings on the podcasting sites, share on Facebook and have friends share, too. Good idea, Steve. You know, the more the merrier. The more people participate in the conversation, I think, the better the conversation becomes. More voices, bigger choir, better songs. Same problem here, says James in Illinois. Pay as you go. Vehicle's 18 years old. I hesitate to buy another since this one is the target for every kid in the neighborhood with a rock. Why would another one be any different? Neither the kids or their parents have any money, so what do? I bought a dozen baseballs and started handing them out to the kids to give them something else to throw and maybe let them know that I'm not looking for the rock thrower. Just trying to be a nice guy. Hear, hear. And you know, that's actually pretty good. That's some of that there peace psychology. Yeah. Lee in New York says, here's how their thinking works. If you never borrowed, why should we lend to you? If you've been trusted with a loan, that's a reason to trust you. But by the way, do you know what the credit card companies call people who pay the full balance each month?
Deadbeats.
You could not lose $1 billion in a decade because you don't owe. Exactly. Randy, in PA, like Mitt and Bain Capital and now Sears, the billionaires now get paid for the corporations under their management to fail. Failing is good. I guess. It sure works out for the billionaires. Yeah, what was one of the refrains of the 2016 election? We bailed out Wall Street, but we bankrupted Main Street. Wasn't that what it was? Yeah. Obligatory Star Trek reference coming from Randy. Sheliak Corporation considers all humans, to be vermin. Yeah. man. Feels well. Maybe they are aliens. Who knows? Hard to say. I gotta admit, for once I'm looking forward to the weekend. Kind of regroup and retool and be in a little bit. Well, it'll be nice just to have the tech issues solved come Monday. Let's see. The news, says Steve in New York. I was listening to Randy Rhodes today. Something occurred to me. Well, in the past, things would come on the news where I would preface it with, "You're not going to believe this," on a weekly or biweekly basis. Now, every day or even every hour, something comes on the news where I preface it with, "You're not going to believe this." When I hear people remark that something the orangutan does is unbelievable or shocking or stunning, I begin to tense up because, in fact, nothing that happens falls into one of those categories anymore. Bob, is the result of this disaster going to be that we lose all sense of surprise and all sense of empathy and sympathy? I'm rather scared of that notion. I remember in the immediate aftermath of September 11th, 2001, the multimillionaire for-profit media declared what they called the death of irony. Because the 90s had been chock-a-block with it. Well, it took a little while, but the irony wasn't dead after all. But that was a singular event in time. And, of course, naturally, we screwed up the response to it because we left that response to a Republican president and, I guess more importantly, a bloodthirsty, undead ghoul of a Republican vice president and a Republican House and a Republican Senate. Naturally, they fucked it all up beyond all recognition. But the fuck-ups had, they happened before and after that particular date. Because even as the nation was reeling from that event, I remember the news story about how during the Clinton administration, Gary Hart and another individual, can't remember who at the moment, had pulled together they were tasked with the job of putting together a report on security in our nation's airports. And that report warned that something like what happened on September 11th was bound to happen sooner or later unless we did something. The report was presented to Dim Leader in, I think, March of 2001. And he said, "I don't have time to read this kind of shit." And promptly handed it off to, and you remember him, don't you? Brownie. the guy he had put in charge of FEMA, whose sole experience in life had been running a fan club for horses. Brownie would go on, of course, to become infamous by a heck of a job, Brownie, while folks were floating face down dead in the fetid, stinking waters of Katrina. But he didn't have time for such pointy-headed intellectual bullshit as that. And you can take it a step back beyond that. And this is that intellectual parlor game that people with corduroy jackets with leather elbow patches play while they swirl brown liquor in cut glass, highball glasses, and chomp on the stems of pipes and harumph at each other, where we realize that, you know, had the law simply been followed, had a sickeningly politicized Supreme Court not agreed that George W. Bush would be would suffer harm if all the votes were counted in Florida. You know, that really is the day I realized that that democracy in this country is aspirational and not operational. When the Supreme Court said, oh no, we can't count all the votes, because if we count all the votes of everybody who voted, George W. Bush will be irreparably harmed, and installed him as the President of the United States. That's the day that September 11th became inevitable. That parlor game is the one where people sit around and say, wonder how many things would be different if Al Gore had become president. There are, for instance, about 5,000 military families who would maybe still have people sitting down to dinner every evening. I know, shocking, isn't it? And it's hard to let that kind of thing go. But as I said, responding to Steve, that was a singular moment in time. It was an event. What we have since January the 20th, 2017, on the other hand, is a rupture. A rupture in the very fabric of our country and the operating system. If you think of the Constitution as an operating system, well, somebody found a bug, a back door in computer lingo, and exploited it and infected the entire system with a pernicious virus. And it's still spreading. And people wake up one day to the next, didn't have it the day before. Today, they've got it. 2 days ago, on the first day of school in Mississippi, little children woke up feeling fine, and by the end of the day were wailing and sick. And as we're finding out more and more now, the entire purpose of that godforsaken exercise was specifically just to torture people, just to enact something hellish as a means of gratifying the sadistic ends of people who call themselves conservatives and Trump supporters. Ron in Raleigh says, back in the day, before the filthy predators at Wells Fargo, I call them Hell's Cargo, bought out Wachovia, I had the same personal banker for over 20 years. If I needed a loan for a car or anything else, I could go to my banker and say, Mary, I need X dollars, and within about 30 minutes, I'd walk out of the bank with a check. After Wells Fargo took over, they wouldn't piss on me if I was on fire. However, the record I established with my old bank lingers to this day, even though I haven't bought a big-ticket item for years. I don't have any outstanding debt other than my mortgage. Being a knower of words, you know what mortgage means. Yes, I do. Root word, mort, death. Ron also added a little bit before airtime, every damn day. I believe it was Albert Einstein who said to continue to do the same thing expecting a different outcome is the sign of insanity. Pretty close, yep. After Piyush Jindal brought Louisiana low with supply-side economics, Sam Brownback doubled down in Kansas and broke the back of the state. Broke back, see what I did there? You'd think that after those debacles, people would think, damn, I'm not going to do that. You'd be wrong. No matter how many times supply-side fails, some other Republican decides to give it a try again. I'll add editorially, because every time it fails, they argue that it was attempted by someone who wasn't sufficiently conservative. I remember when that was the argument about George W. Bush, and oh, we sure could grade up America if only George W. Bush hadn't been a secret liberal. This strikes me as being the argument, the same kind of arguments put forward by addicts. This whole pill thing could work out for me if I just had a steady source of pills. Mm-hmm. Or if I was drinking a better brand of liquor. The U.S., Ron says, is on the downhill side of destruction of empire. We'll stumble along for another decade or two, but we're going into the ash heap of history like other empires before us. Trump is truly Nero, fiddling while the country burns. And with that, an article, one of Charlie Pierce's pieces, the state of Alaska is in desperate trouble. Its law enforcement, environment, and political leadership are simultaneously deteriorating. I read this earlier today. It's not the happy story for the weekend. No. He points out that there's a little place called Stebbins in Alaska in which every local police officer has been convicted at one time or another of domestic violence. Mike was a registered sex offender and had served 6 years behind bars in Alaska jails and prisons. He'd been convicted of assault, domestic violence, vehicle theft, groping a woman, hindering prosecution, reckless driving, drunken driving, and choking a woman unconscious in an attempted sexual assault. Are we sure he's not related to Trump? He said, my record, I thought I had no chance of being a cop. Well, the city of Stebbins hired him as a cop on the same day he filled out the application. It goes on from there. They're short on first responders in Alaska. Yeah, go read the article. Like I said, don't do it on a full stomach, but then again, don't do it on an empty one either. Uh-oh, I've gotten on the wrong side of Silent R. Lamar again. Okay, now, Bob, you need to stop. That comment sounded like me. After work, jacket with the patches, highball glass, brown liquor pipe in mouth. Bob, stop telling me how to enjoy my downtime. Stop telling us how to wear corduroy jackets, Bob. This is my only way to get through Trump's America. Remember back when I wanted a tank? Well, I think I need a tank from Trump fans and their freedom protectors. Just saying, I'm a black man in Trump's America. Steve in New York, one of those chilling statements my mom ever said to me during the uncommon era, the UCE. When I told her I was angry at children being put in concentration camps at the border, her response was the following. There are no American children being put in concentration camps. That sent chills up my spine. Read that again, Bob. No American children. This demonstrated the mind of the Trumpanzee to me. They really don't care about other children. Other children don't matter as much as our children. And then there's that word American. South America is America, too. Central America is America. North America is America. And because most of the people of this country have never ventured outside its borders, they don't realize that the rest of the Western Hemisphere, Caribbean is America. The Caribbean's America. Absolutely. Just doesn't happen to be our America. People in the rest of the hemisphere kind of take umbrage at citizens of the United States saying that, you know, we're the Americans. I can only assume that indigenous people in this country must sort of, well, maybe scratch an eyebrow and crank out a wry little grin at the prospect. Aren't the American children? No, those are Guatemalans. And never mind the fact that their ancestors are the people who came up with corn. They're not American. Thanks for the pronouncer, Brother Deacon Asa. Apparently it's Wachovia, not Wachovia. Never had to do business with them. Tech Talk, says Lee. Yes, I've been chattering along like this because I had to restart the computer. All my stories that I had lined up in the tabs kind of went... Tech Talk, now you've entered my realm. Compare Microsoft to Republicans, says Lee in New York. Edge is like our Republican voter suppression in our election system. You cannot get rid of it. Cortana is like the NSA and other agencies. You can tell it does not listen. But it is always on, and I never really know. Thank you for calling tech support. Have you tried turning it off and turning it on? Oddly enough, that's just what I did. Now I've been turning it off and turning it on again in hopes of raising the sound card from the dead, but that doesn't seem to be much in the way of help. And as we move toward... as we move toward the end of the first hour and getting the extraordinary ordinary roundtable together, a note from Suman out in Arizona: the Trumps are called a heartless couple for grinning photo op with baby orphaned in El Paso shooting. I had to try really hard, says Suman, to not throw up after I read this. The Trump that headline. I saw the photograph, him with his stupid little thumb sticking up, melanoma clutching the baby. because the backstory on that's just repulsive. That baby had been sent home from the hospital, and they dragged the poor little orphan child back so it could be fetishized by Nitwit Nero and Melanoma. Jesus. And earlier in the day, I had a note, and you'll be glad to hear this. I had a note from Lady B. Before that, let me go to Hung Like Jesus. Heard you talking about Rural King, and at least somebody knows about Rural King last night while listening to the rebroadcast. So I went over to their site, and guess what? The first thing I see is 380 caliber semi-automatic pistols for sale. Yes, the kind you can throw in your pocket. These fucking men. I know. Oh, yeah, there's a tiny one. It's so small, it'll lay in the palm of my hand, and, I mean, I don't have Trump hands. They're also not Johnny Bench can hold a dozen baseball in one hands either. But you can drop it in a pocket, and it won't even look like something particularly heavy's in there. And in a state like West Virginia, well, gosh. You can carry it just about anywhere you want. No permit required in West Virginia. It's a little chilling. This from Lady B. Suspicious minds, or we can't go on together as a country. Etc. From the moment that I saw that subject line, I've had the Elvis song earwormed into my brain. Ouch. It's not a bad song, really. Funny how, when a lie, or more specifically denial, fits a narrative, then it's perfectly okay. It's almost like it's deliberate deception. Walmart's removing video game demo consoles in their stores. You may recall we talked about this toward the end of the program last night. Won't do anything about the damn guns, but they won't let you demo the shoot 'em up, the first person shooters anymore, I guess. But as Lady B says, they're still continuing to sell real guns. It's surreal. It's like they believe that by preventing people from using things that don't kill real people, that it'll somehow stop them from obtaining and using the real things that they sell that kill real people. Not every gun is designed for hunting. There are many guns designed specifically to kill lots of humans as fast as possible. They're specifically designed for war zones. Yeah, there aren't a lot of hunting Glocks. Those 17 or 19 rounds in a 9mm Glock pistol, those aren't designed for those 30 to 50 feral hogs in your yard. Those are designed for real, live, living, breathing human beings. The military did not let the contract that led to the creation of the AR-15 because the generals wanted a better deer rifle. Based on research and development out of our various martial misadventures, well, it was an evolution of a gun designed to kill people. And as a bonus, by using a smaller round, that means, lighter bullet, Well, it's a little cheaper, too. But that bullet, oh, it does whopping big damage. Again, because of deliberate design for use in warfare. Yeah, Lady B said they're specifically designed for war zones, and yet any American civilian has access to them. But that's okay. Walmart is dictating the narrative. Believe what we tell you to believe, because that's what's best for you. And the story about the witness to the Michael Brown shooting being wrong about what he saw is sad and infuriating. Yes, a cop's life and career was on the line. His reputation was being ruined over one witness's mistake. A city rioted over that one mistake. Damage was caused. America was torn apart because of the damage that witness caused. I get it. That part was real. Basically, Dorian Johnson had us believing that the cop acted out of racism and malice. He had us believe that there are some cops out there that would kill an innocent black man over something that, quite frankly, should have never reached that level of escalation. But that's never happened with cops and black men in Baltimore. I'll add editorially, it didn't happen with cops and a 12-year-old boy in Cleveland. And it certainly didn't happen with cops and a black man by the name of Eric Garner in New York City. No. Hell, says Lady B, it really doesn't happen much anywhere in America, at least not on purpose. All criminals, no matter how slight the crime, always end up being killed for the same reasons. So why are people still so up in arms about it? Johnson was mistaken. Everybody knows that some things are just not true, no matter what you thought you saw. Sometimes you need other people to tell you what you saw. Looks can be deceiving. Me? Quite frankly, I don't understand what the fuss is all about. He just remembered things differently. It was his alternative fact. You know, the way that Brett Kavanaugh remembered things differently, clad in the privilege of his whiteness. Or how the woman who is living, as far as I know, to this day, well, she didn't remember things differently. She flat out made up a story about a young boy by the name of Emmett Till coming on to her. And that reverberates down through history because some good white Christian boys from the University of Mississippi recently shot up the historical marker that denotes the place where Emmett Till's Klan-mangled body was found after the good white Christians had gotten done with him. But Lady B says Dorian Johnson has been through and continues to go through more shit in his life than most of us have and will ever know. He's broken. But that doesn't matter. He tried to tear apart the country over the false narrative that a white cop possibly overreached in his zeal to track down and apprehend a black man who'd stolen a box of cigarillos. He thought his friend decided to turn himself in and approach the officer with his hands up. He was horribly wrong in his description. The city of Baltimore rioted over it. And poor Darren Wilson would suffer possibly career-ending consequences for it. Dorian Johnson, an already traumatized man, made a mistake during a traumatic and scary situation. But no matter. He should have gotten the story right. He almost destroyed this country. It's very important to get the facts right, no matter what the situation. Just the facts, ma'am, says Joe Friday. Lies cause harm. Lies ruin reputations. Lies cause disruption and conflict. Words matter. Facts matter. Dorian should have got his story right. We need to make sure that no matter what happens, people never lie or make mistakes about things they witness. And the promises they make and the narratives they try to dictate destroys reputations. It ruins lives, many, many lives. There are truths and there are lies. I don't get why most people don't understand this. You don't lie about important things. Always tell the truth, no matter what. And if you're obviously blatantly wrong, be willing to acknowledge that and change your story as appropriate. Because one falsehood can ruin lives, many, many lives, maybe even millions of lives. Who really knows? Lady B says, I guess we black folks won't. That's for damn sure. And don't forget, Darren Wilson didn't even know Mike Brown had stolen something from a convenience store. He was just mad because Mike wouldn't stop walking down the middle of the street when he told him to. Yeah. One wonders if we ever... Well, I can tell you this much. So-called eyewitness testimony, lawyers and investigators, well, they begin to squirm a little bit in their chairs when they hear about the eyewitness testimony. Because you can literally have four people witness the same event from the same angle and tell four different stories. Because that is the hobgoblin of narrative as opposed to data. And, yeah, let's just go ahead and get this out of the way. It's a matter of talking about video on the radio, which is always problematic. It means that at some point in time you're going to have to go and have a look at it to see what I'm talking about. Even if we had sound, it would still be a problem. Now, I get it that it gets kind of hot and sticky in D.C. this time of year. Being one of the whitest men in America, I can tell you that there are times that I've walked from the Senate side of Capitol Hill to the House side of Capitol Hill and completely drenched a tropical weight worsted wool suit. But today was weird. He was flop sweating. He was drenched like me. And I guess the heat, that old David Lee Roth solo album, wasn't that called Crazy from the Heat? Well, it turns out David Lee Roth goes on the prophets list. Because Nitwit Nero was off and gone again.
Hollywood, I don't call them the elites. I think the elites are the people they go after in many cases. But Hollywood is really terrible. You talk about racism, Hollywood is racist. What they're doing with the kind of movies they're putting out, it's actually very dangerous for our country. What Hollywood is doing is a tremendous disservice to our country.
But he didn't say what it was that he'd seen that bore that out. And I still don't know. We don't know what the dangerous movies are. But then he kept on losing his mind and went off on China. Maybe he really is Fat Nixon. Maybe genetic experimentation has come further than we thought. Maybe one of these days he's going to reach under his many chins and pull loose a little flap and just draw it back over his head and say, I'm back. Because when you go on the Hollywood rant, the first thing that comes to mind is Richard Nixon in the Oval Office talking about, was it Billy Graham? Yeah? Billy, we could make this country great again. If it weren't for the Jews, Billy. The Jews in Hollywood. Yes, Mr. President, I agree. The Jews need to be saved before they all go to hell. But of course, Mr. President, Jesus will kill them all when he comes back and they don't confess him. I like Jesus, Billy, I do. He's white like me. So what popular movies are out there what's big at the box office right now that features white folks shown in a poor light? Because that's bound to have come. That's Stephen Miller over there typing with one hand and masturbating madly with the other while he's wandering around 8chan or Stormfront or that website that rhymes with light and fart. Something lit him up. I was chatting a little bit with Tracy, and she turned me on. We were talking about movies set in, like, 40s L.A. I'd sent her a passage from a Raymond Chandler novel from 1947 that he describes in detail the route that he takes when he's driving in a certain part of town. And so Tracy turned me on to Devil in a Blue Dress with Don Cheadle and Denzel Washington. And so I'm looking forward this weekend to watching that. I also found the film version from... this was a blast. I found the film version from 1969 of the Raymond Chandler novel that I was reading. And instead of keeping it, you know, there was nothing cool about 1947 and 1969. That was just... You know, that was Deadsville, man. That wasn't cool at all. And so it was set in 1968 or so. But the thing had a... What a cast. The head detective was played by Carol O'Connor, and it's cool to look at these things back in time and go, hey, wait. 2 years after he's done playing that supporting role in a James Garner movie, he will set the nation afire as a racist, bigoted longshoreman from Queens named Archie Bunker. Rita Moreno was in it. Trying to think of who else. I think the guy from what was the TV show about the fancy submarine that broke down all the time? The Sea View. No, that wasn't Richard Basehart. But the real giggle out of this was that the bad guy's henchman was played by a very hip, very cool Bruce Lee. And Bruce Lee came into Philip Marlowe's office and kicked the shit out of the walls and the coat rack. And I don't think I've got any spoilers for anybody because I don't think anybody's going to watch this. Then he tried to bribe him on behalf of the heavy. Of course, Philip Marlowe's a stand-up guy, and he doesn't take the bribe. So Bruce Lee goes ahead and kicks the shit out of the rest of the room. I kept it. I realized we were a few years too early for that classic 70s tune, Kung Fu Fighting. But, man, if you went back and you took those scenes and you mixed that song into it, you'd have something. But then comes a line the second time he runs into Bruce Lee. Bruce Lee karate chops and kicks at him until James Garner is standing 50 stories up at the top of the veranda of a rooftop bar in L.A. And Bruce Lee intends to kick at him and make him fall to his death. But then, because Philip Marlowe is Philip Marlowe and is, you know, just the epitome of cool, he looks at Bruce Lee. This is, again, 1969. 50 years ago. He looks at Bruce Lee and says, in that James Garner way, "You're a little light on your feet, aren't you? A little gay, maybe?" At which point Bruce Lee yells, "Hi-ya!" and comes kicking at him, and James Garner coolly grabs a handy ladder handle on the outside of the concrete pillar, swings himself out, hanging 50 feet above the mean streets of L.A. below, as Bruce Lee kicks himself out into space and himself falls to his doom. But that line, "A little gay, maybe," in 1969 in a theatrical film release? Really? I live for those little pop culture nuggets. Yeah, okay, Randy has the same. Yeah, Richard Basehart was in Voyage to the Bottom of the Sea. Wait a minute. Has Randy ever gotten a cowbell before? What I was saying is it was Richard Basehart in Voyage to the Bottom, but it wasn't Richard Basehart in this movie. I thought it was, but it wasn't. Yes, it was Richard Basehart on Voyage to the Bottom of the Sea, which is where the sub ended ended up most of the time. That was, well, yeah, that's what happens when you build submarines with the low bid. Yeah, thank you, Lee in New York, Voyage to the Bottom of the Sea. All I could remember is it was that broke down sub that didn't work about half the time. And the other half the time, it was ensnared in the tentacles of the biggest goddamn kraken the world's ever known. Yeah, Lee in New York, gaming. "I played Dungeons and Dragons. I've had science fiction-based ray guns of many genres. I've played a virtual reality shoot-'em-up game. I even won the virtual reality game. I watched live-action role-play, LARP. I've attended the Renaissance Fair. Know what? I don't own a gun. I understand the difference between a toy and a weapon. When I watch a performance, the actors do not have weapons, they have props. Maybe that's why stupid people think that video games cause death. They do not understand that they cannot tell the difference between a game and reality. Hell, they probably try to take out a real loan on their Monopoly hotels." Yeah, you get a cowbell too, Lee. The number of people, yeah, I mean, my generation would be wiping out people with anvils being dropped from the sky if violent video anything influenced our violent culture. Try to explain that to a fucking NRA member, though. "Well, you don't even know it's a magazine and not a clip. God damn it, you ain't got no right to talk about that." Violent video games? I still remember one I played in the late 90s. It was a first-person shooter called Klingon Honor Guard, and God, it was fun. And when you shot somebody in zero-G, the blobs of blood just floated. And, of course, you're a Klingon anyway, so, it, you know, that's just the epitome of fun for a Klingon. "We've got enough latinum here to choke a rope head." Mm-hmm. The dialogue was wonderful, too. "Targ, just like Mother used to make." Of course, and it was not lost on me either, that movie. "Of course," says Darlene in Connecticut, "white man still outwits Asian supreme martial artist. Wouldn't have happened in real life." Well, yeah, I mean, why not just go ahead and kick his ass and throw him over, kick his ass and throw him over the balcony instead of all the drama of trying to chase him up and make him fall down. And I mean, it was his stomping ground. He should have known that there was a ladder handle attached to the concrete pillar. Oh. Oh, I didn't know that. Ron and Raleigh says, voyage to the bottom of the sea. David Hedison, the captain of the Sea View, passed away 2 weeks ago. And so here we are at 10 minutes. Oh, time check. Here we are into the first, into the second hour of the program. I'm going over to the old holler tree here momentarily. And we started the program with $615 to raise. And here at, into the second hour of the program, we still have $615 to raise in what is turning out to be the most financially brutal month that we may ever have faced on this little program. So if you'd like to help knock that down, hell, if we could knock down Wednesday and Thursday and $15 worth of Tuesday, knock down Wednesday and Thursday, that would at least be a start. So the interface for PayPal is over at headon.live. Now, let's go over to the old holler tree. Are you there, Sparky? Oh, come on.
That's as soon as I hit the button.
Oh, okay. Well, you scared me for a minute. I started wiggling the cord. Make sure you were there.
You might be able to hear the fan in the cave going. Unusual, I mean, seasonably unusual cool day today.
Yeah, it's not.
It's only 82.
Oh, well, I mean, that's practically frigid for where you are. No, the fan is not particularly obtrusive. I think we'll be okay.
Okay, I've got two stories. One I don't know if you covered, but first one I got is a Paradise update.
Oh, really?
Fire update.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yesterday, I claimed another victim. A guy trying to get his, I think he was in his 70s, living down in Sacramento, and succumbed to his burns he sustained in the fire. So that death toll's at 87.
That's Jesus. So he's been in hospital suffering from those burns for all these months?
Yeah.
Ow.
I'm getting the story up now. Don't do that to me. Oh, because of my ad blocker. Yeah, I guess we're just living in Sacramento. Recuperating.
Oh, okay.
Anyway, that is part of the update. Then we got on the news the other day, there's only 2,700 lots to clean up yet from the fire.
So the trucks will be going by your house for a while yet?
Yeah, they're still going by every day. I don't think there's 500 of them a day, but they're still going. But the one thing I heard, found out, too, that they're putting a lot of the utilities in Paradise underground now.
Well, that might be helpful.
Because this big company that my minion's mother works for is doing the work down there. Digging the ditches and trenches, conduiting or something like that.
God, what a mess. What a horror.
And then the other story, I don't know if you covered it, but that guy in Springfield, Missouri, at the Walmart?
Yeah, we had that last night. Have there been any further? He been charged yet? Because
I don't know. I tuned out early last night to go watch the football game.
No, I understand. No, I figured they probably can't charge him unless he waved the gun around. They might be able to charge him with brandishing. I was thinking maybe trespass and terroristic threats and stream littering. Because, of course...
But he did have 100 rounds on him.
That might go to terroristic threats, but in the free state of Missouri, I think he's allowed to have the gun and the 100 rounds. I could be wrong.
Well, anyway, if I was at a Walmart and a guy come walking up with a gun like that, I'd do the same thing, pull a fire alarm.
Yeah, in this case, it was the manager, though, wasn't it?
I don't know who did it. But yeah, all I know is I saw that video. The fireman had a gun on him, and the cops come. Watch that video, and you could hear the fire alarm in the background from the Walmart going off. He was outside the Walmart, but even though if you're outside, there's still horns outside to blast.
Oh yeah, and the at the time that I had the story, and you know Haley sent it in via Twitter. At the time that I had the story, the cops were saying that they would not disclose what it was that the lawful gun owner was saying when he got into the store. But apparently that was sufficient to make the manager pull the fire alarm.
Oh, I got another story. Feel good story. I don't know if you feel good about it, but I do.
Yeah.
Our Lassen wolf pack has grown by 3. They're tracking them.
Oh, Mama Wolf had cubs?
Yeah.
That's nice. I feel good about that.
They're up hanging around Lassen Park and that high country area that's up there that nobody lives in. Except some people have, they log it, cattle, and that kind of stuff.
Well, thank God Sarah Palin's not around there. She'd want to hunt him from a helicopter.
Yeah, I see that hunting. They tried to get pig hunters from a helicopter. Pigs got smart and started hiding.
Well, pigs are smart. Pigs are smarter than dogs, smarter than cats, smarter than horses. They got pretty good sized functioning brains. And I just had a note from a couple of people. It could be that the fan is, I think the fan is like making your mic cut in and out.
Okay. I can shut it off. Hang on.
Pigs are smarter than Trumps too, guys.
Oh, but wait, well, yeah, way smarter.
Yeah, it's not that bad without it.
Or it could, I don't know, it could be an internet thing, too. You never know. Oh, we've gotten started. Thank you very kindly to Gary. Gary just finished up Tuesday and took a bite out of Wednesday. So that means we have $565 to go to finish the week. Thank you, Gary. Thank you very kindly indeed. That's really helpful.
Hey, Bob.
Yeah.
Your credit thing. Don't you belong to a credit union?
The horn does.
Oh. Couldn't you get a loan to there? To the horn?
Probably not. No. The answer is no.
Oh.
That's all Boss Man Wayne stuff.
Yeah, but doesn't he know some people that are on the board or anything like that?
Not really. That's all changed because he's been retired for a while.
Oh yeah, just like me. I used to be on a credit union board.
Yeah.
It was a fun.
What's that? You're breaking up, Sparky.
I said it was a thought.
Oh, yeah. I've had a lot of those. It's just that none of them seem to be going anywhere. Heck, I don't know. I may wind up having to put up a crowdfunding campaign or something. This is just silly. I don't want to do that, though. But, you know, we'll come to some sort of an answer. By the way, I just had a note come in from Steve, another member of apparently a new member of the fraternity of Steve. Just wanted to let you know that Alex Jones is spewing more hate today, talking about civil war and that people need to start buying weapons. He's a dangerous man and his followers are unstable people. Love the show. Great to hear from you, Steve. And be careful about listening to Alex Jones. He can make your he can make your brains leak out your ears if you're not careful. Read something intelligent after hearing an Alex Jones clip or something like that. But the right wing's absolutely in a masturbatory frenzy over the idea of this country bloodying itself real good. I hope we don't take the bait.
I got another thought deal is the El Paso Memorial.
Yeah.
The Walmart they've made. Beto did a video on it. I started watching it. And he was talking about how his daughter and some of her friends made up paper mache flowers and then went down to the memorial last night. And it was, they have all these candles there. And they had all the kids. That's what they're doing. It's just the kids got, you know, a little stick dipped in wax and lit it on fire and was going around lighting the candles. And Beto said there was must have been 30 or 40 kids doing that. I just thinking about what are these kids thinking about this memorial thing and all these crosses? What is that kind of impression did it give you and your mom? Are you next or what?
Yeah, that goes to the heart of, you know, little 5-year-old kindergartners being taught to do, you know, how as it, and you know, we've got educators in this community. How do you tell a 5-year-old that someday a bad, bad man with a bad, bad gun may come in and try to murder them? I mean, that's why education professionals are, well, professionals.
I got somebody I'll ask that question to you tomorrow. I'm going to see my sister from Tennessee for the first time in 5 years.
Oh, yeah. Are they RVing out your way?
No, she comes out to see my cousins that live in Grass Valley.
Okay.
Who are east of Sacramento. So anyway, they're coming up here tomorrow, and then they're going to go to the vineyard down in Vina to see the monks and get some good wine. But anyway, she's the retired school teacher.
Well, she's probably had to deal with it.
In Tennessee, in Knoxville, she did.
Well, let's put it this way:
kindergarten, second, third graders, that kind of age group.
Well, let's look at that. Let's compare it to something we know. You grew up in the Cold War. What did the atomic bomb drills do?
Just duck and cover. Everybody knew that there could be a bomb dropped after the Cuban Missile Crisis. Everybody was thought, just bend over, kiss your eye, ask goodbye.
Yeah, everybody.
See a big flash.
Yeah. Now, see, you take that, which is sort of, I mean, that's an atomic bomb or an ICBM or something like that. And it's, even if it felt imminent, it was still distant. It's a little bit different, I think, to try to explain to a child that there are just people out there that, because they can buy a gun real easy, like to come in and shoot up schools.
Yeah, well, I can tell you what it's like to be standing in pitch dark and all of a sudden have instant daylight.
Yeah, because that was when
thanks to an airplane crash and going.
Yeah, Randy in PA says the atomic bomb drills, it scared the crap out of everybody. And, you know, the other aspect to that is that a terrorized population is a manipulable population.
But at the same time, Bob, we were going to the moon. I graduated from high school in 1969.
Yeah.
My 50th reunion is this year. I'm not going, but I got all the information for it. Because I haven't seen most of the people in 50 years, and I don't want to see them. I want to remember them the way they were.
Yeah, instead of seeing what age and time have done.
Yeah, because I all have to do is look in the mirror and see what it's done to me.
By the way, note coming in from Steve in New York, subject line, the orangutan, notably, is the dumbest primate due to its unusually small brain and underdeveloped frontal lobe. He failed to mention its tiny hands. Well, I see it's been a while since we've really heard much from Billable Rick. Are you there this evening, Rick?
Maybe do billable stuff.
Well, yeah, it's that time. It's that billable time of year too, I think.
Joe's here.
Yeah, hey Joe, how about you?
Hey, you guys. Can you hear me?
Yeah. How's your Friday shaping up?
Not too bad. Just sitting up here at the casino in Washington, PA, hanging out.
Oh, you're in Washington?
PA.
No. I know Washington, PA very well. You're just scant miles away from my alma mater, Harvard on the Mon.
Yep, not too far from old Morgantown.
Yeah.
Now you were talking about mental health, you know, Bob, and you're saying, you know, you couldn't diagnose Trump. You're not a psychologist or psychiatrist, and so you didn't have the proper credentials. Well, I think you got the wrong doctor. I think in his case, proctologist would be the
you'd have to have a proctologist to get at his head in order to analyze him.
Yeah, say proctologist to diagnose that asshole. Yeah.
Hey, I got one for you though. You love these moments of monumental fascist stupidity. And I don't know if Flavio's listening. He might want to go and if he is, Flavio might want to go and check out the original Portuguese on this because this is subject to translation. But Jair Bolsonaro has, of course, been described as Brazil's Trump.
Yep.
Well, today...
Yeah, in fact...
today... you're going to love this. Today, as a means of avoiding the reality of climate change, because fascists aren't into climate change, he suggested... a journalist asked him whether you could spur economic growth, feed the world's hungry, and preserve the environment. I should probably issue a hockey puck warning for this. Consider it given. Jair Bolsonaro, answering this question, said, "It's enough to eat a little less. You talk about environmental pollution. It's enough to poop every other day. That will be better for the whole world." Now, earlier this month, he sacked the agency head of the Brazilian government who had pointed out that Amazonian deforestation was had increased massively. Now, I'm not trying to ruin dinner in the central time zone or anything. And as the old song goes, everybody poops, and if they don't, they're an android and must be destroyed. And I guess people have different rhythms and so forth. And, well, how do you, how does one, I mean, is this some sort of dark art whereby one commits to only voiding one's bowels every other day?
Well, Bob, it sounds to me like he's got a Shiny Heine's going to have a new product offering, Bolsonaro's Brazilian butt plug.
Ooh, wait a minute. Wait.
That's cowbell worthy.
Yeah, that gets a cowbell.
There's
a Brazilian wax, there's a Brazilian bikini bottom, and now we're going to have the Brazilian butt plug. Well, yay. So it's just a reminder that, you know, this country is not run by the only stupid fascist on the planet, and that perhaps there may be other, even more stupid fascists. But given the fact that so much of our fascist's big thinking happens while he's twooping, do you realize that would keep him off Twitter at 24 hours at a time?
What, no going to the bathroom?
Yeah, I mean, if Trump can't go to the little dictator's room, he can't twoop.
Oh, I'm sure he tweets in the Beast and on Air Force One.
Yeah, but those early morning ones, those are from the throne.
They have to be.
But then again, if he tried to take his buddy Jair Bolsonaro's advice, he'd probably explode.
Yeah, all that Mickey Burger King and what have you. Yeah, there's no way in hell he's going to be able to have a bowel movement once per every 2 days.
Hey, Bob.
Yes, Sparky.
Well, I wonder if we can, through the Freedom of Information Act, we can find out if he has a colonoscopy regular.
You know, that I kid you not, that is probably a state secret.
It probably violates HIPAA, guys. Personal health insurance and health information of others.
Yeah, but he's the president.
Doesn't matter.
Yeah, but all the norms are gone, Sparky. I mean, I remember when, we would be told that, Dan Quayle was in charge because George H.W. Bush was getting the steel eel that morning. And there'd be a power handoff under the 25th Amendment. Well, when it came time for Nitwit Nero's physical, all we were told was that he was going to live to be 200. And the candy man, Dr. Ronnie, said, "Why, that's the healthiest man I've ever met in my life."
As he popped another couple of pills.
Snorted some more alcohol. God, he was mad the other day at that speech.
Oh, yeah.
Speaking of health, did anybody notice how much he was sweating today during his remarks at the...
Yeah, I was talking about that a little bit ago. I mean, I've never seen anybody sweat like that who wasn't me.
Yeah.
He didn't even have a weed whacker with him.
Yeah.
Exactly. Yeah, it looked like he'd just come from a workout, the way he was sweating, you know?
Yeah, and we know that didn't happen.
No, he doesn't do that. No, doesn't believe it.
What was the humidity in Washington, D.C. today?
Oh, this time of year, it's probably about a billion. I mean, I've been in...
Yeah, probably 95.
I've been in D.C. this time of year, and it's gooey.
I mean, you know, my only experience is Southeast Asia, and then shit, you could take a shower and walk back to your room, and you were flop sweating again.
Yeah, Washington, D.C. is like that, only worse. That's a joke.
And that's when I was 22 years old.
Chicago can get terribly nasty this time of year, too.
Oh, that's the old saying that Chicago has exactly two seasons. Dead of winter and 4th of July.
Yeah, that's right.
Because, I mean, in Chicago, it may be miserable right now, but you'll get your first 2-foot snow sometime in September, right? Well, climate change, but...
Right, it's shifted a little bit. And then 4th of July, that's also construction season, so...
Yeah, you find out about the hawk in Illinois.
Yeah, that wind, yep. So what does everybody think about Gary Nadler's announcement?
You're gonna have to help me there.
Oh, well, I heard an interview on Randy's show, and he came out and said that they're an official impeachment inquiry time.
Well, that that would time out with a story that I saw earlier today. By the way, we've got a $50 challenge on the table, courtesy of Charlene, a founding member of the Sorority of Leans and also a charter member of Queen Tracy's Reverse Oreo Society. There's a $50 challenge on the table, and if it's met, then Charlene will throw in another $25, and that's huge. And that'll take us for the evening so far. That'll take us down to 4:15. So, folks, that challenge is out there, and thank you very kindly, Charlene. I saw a story earlier today, and this sort of makes me feel like maybe I've been close in my ongoing analysis about when impeachment would be appropriate. The Wall Street Journal reported that a number of financial institutions from Wall Street have turned over a treasure trove of financial information on Russians who were doing business with Donald Trump and members of his family to the relevant congressional committees. The Wall Street Journal writes, thousands of pages of documents related to Russians who may have had dealings with Mr. Trump, his family, or his business have been handed over. Some banks are also giving documents related to Mr. Trump's business, the Trump Organization, to New York State investigators. We're talking about Bank of America, Citigroup, Deutsche Bank AG, J.P. Morgan Chase, Morgan Stanley, and, yes, as Ron referred to him earlier, to them earlier, Hell's Cargo. According to the Wall Street Journal report, they go on to say, the investigators are working on a joint probe into potential foreign influence on Mr. Trump and his family by the House Financial Services Committee and the House Intelligence Committee. More information will likely be handed over in coming weeks as the banks continue to respond to subpoenas sent in April. And that's kind of...
So it's taken that long.
Well, yeah, it does. I mean, and that's why I've tried to... I saw a remark on my timeline earlier talking about, you know, how Nancy Pelosi wouldn't prosecute Hitler. And I understand how frustrated people are. And part of that, and I think either Steve remotely or Billable Rick right here in the conversation could probably speak to that. I can as well. Generally speaking, people do not fully appreciate what a tedious process having a rules-based judicial system is. You know, if let's say there's a red car, blue car rear-ender, and it goes to a lawsuit, well, the red car is suing the blue car. So the red car sues, And then the blue car has 20 days to respond. And then there's that's just the early, that's the answer. Then discovery starts. And if you send out interrogatories, the other side has X amount of time to answer them. And then they can send interrogatories to you, and you have X amount of time to answer that. And then if you file a motion to dismiss, there's an amount of time that passes in order for them to respond to that. Motion for summary judgment, briefs back and forth. And the next thing you know, you're a year down the road.
Yeah. Well, this is why I thought...
Well, no, I was just going to say that with the subpoenas, with the challenges to them, even when they get fast-tracked, Jesus, God... It still takes forever. And I went into it at length several weeks ago, if not a month or more. It was more than a month.
Hey, Bob.
Yeah. Yeah.
It took my wife, she was a plaintiff in a lawsuit, class action deal. It took 5 years to settle it.
Oh, yeah.
Sure.
Yeah. Well... I can definitely.
It was worth it at the end when we got the money, but it took a long time.
Yeah, that's a long time. So how much did you get, Sparky?
Nah, don't ask that.
Oh, okay. That's impolite. Sorry.
I didn't get anything. Judy got the money.
Okay.
I couldn't be part of it. It was her relative.
So it was a class action concerning what exactly?
Hospital practices on a open heart surgery suite deal.
Oh, okay.
And there was, I forget how many people were part of the lawsuit.
Okay. So,
yeah. My wife was operating as executor of the estate, her father.
Oh, I see. So it was like, was it a wrongful death claim or what was it?
Yeah.
Okay. We're kind of getting in the weeds, Rick. We were working on explaining, and you can jump in.
Yeah, let me do
that. The time-consuming nature of process.
Yeah. Well, I can attest to that as well personally, but we'll start first with the general, and then I can go personal. I mean, especially with the criminal investigation, these investigations take a long time, and I guess they've kind of already had the criminal investigation. Now we're really into the legislative investigation, if you want to call it that, and they've issued subpoenas, and some have been objected to, some haven't been. To the extent they're not objected to, the party, you know, the subpoenaed party then turns over the documents. If they're objected to, you have to wait until there's a court determination as to the validity of the subpoena, whether it's enforced or not. If it's enforced, then the party turns it over. If it's not, then you go up to the next layer of appeal or whatever until the Congress wins the case, hopefully. And it's kind of like building a brick from the bottom up, you know. It's kind of an intricate kind of a structure. It might be more analogous to one of those structures by I forget who it was. It was some designer who like built these really complex rooms in like these mansions, these Victorian mansions. And, you know, you couldn't really tell how many rooms there were because there were like hidden passages and entryways and all sorts of stuff. I mean, these investigations take a long time. I mean, it makes the, and the thing is the information is, you know, the nature of the case until there's something filed in court. In the criminal cases, it's like a black box. The person who's being investigated doesn't really know that much what, you know, the government has on them. And it's only when there's indictments that are announced that the party that's been investigated is entitled to see the results of the investigation. Until then, there's no legal obligation of the investigator.
Right, and something as simple as a subpoena, you've got 30 days to answer it, but the 30 days doesn't start until in this case, until the court has finally ruled that you have to answer it. Until that judgment becomes final.
Right. So I guess some judgments became final on the subpoenas then, I assume.
Well, I think
the ones he didn't contest.
I'm guessing those are the ones they didn't contest. Maybe it's a competency issue and somebody malpracticed.
Oh, you never know. You never know. So, once these documents come out, I mean, I have a feeling these are going to be very damning in a lot of different ways on a lot of different levels. It's really hard to say exactly how, but, you know, I'm pretty sure that it will be. He's in trouble. Whether it's going to rise to the level of impeachment, whether the House will impeach, is very unclear because, the problem you have is the Senate, the removal, you know?
Well, you know? Now we're back down that road.
Uh-huh.
But I know people want the impeachment to be voted on 3 days ago last Tuesday.
No, that's not how it works.
But
yeah.
you get one shot.
Right.
One shot.
And I don't think, and I'm trying to be gentle in saying this, I don't think that the fact that impeachment has not yet begun is an indication. I don't think you can logically reach the conclusion that it will not begin.
No, you can't. No.
And I'm still not willing to supplant. And you know, here we are, you, me, Steve, probably others in the Horn Family Community Congregation. We actually have a more nuanced understanding of how this works, and we are not willing to supplant our judgment for Nancy Pelosi's. Because, well, I think we're sure that we wouldn't be better speakers of the House than her. And when you say Nancy Pelosi wouldn't indict Hitler, what you're saying is, I'm smarter than Nancy Pelosi. I know how to do Nancy Pelosi's job better than Nancy Pelosi.
Hey, Bob, I think the person who did that post must be the one who said either Bernie or Tulsi gets nominated or else I'm going to vote.
No, that's a different one.
What the fuck is that?
That's a different one.
A member of the Purity Brigade,
oh,
right?
Oh, God, here they come. Yeah, the Brigade.
Yeah, they never left, Chris. Yeah.
They got their own Discord channel.
Oh, do they? Oh, jeez. Well, you know, they can.
I got invited in.
Yeah, what'd you say?
I didn't say anything. I knew who they were.
Okay.
Well, I mean,
all the people that migrated away from Bob. How was that?
Right, that's fair to say.
Well, and Mike.
Yeah.
Well, during the Purity Wars.
Right. Right. Yeah.
But no, these people.
That was Carthage against Rome, right, Bob? The Purity Wars?
Punic Wars. Yeah, that was the Punic Wars.
Does that get a cowbell or not?
that gets a classical cowbell. Classical antiquity with a classically antique cowbell.
Yeah, there you go. Cool.
Or the Peloponnesian Wars? No, that just sucks. But no, it was none of those people. It was nobody. No.
Okay.
But you know, that crap's out there. But the fact, yeah. What I'm trying to get at here. And by the way, thank you to Alma for answering the challenge and to Glenn. So Charlene's challenge has been met. That means we're down to. Hold on. 4:30. 4:30 to go. So that's huge. That's huge. Thank you very much. We'll just keep rolling. And $30 more, and we've got Wednesday knocked out, and we'll start on Thursday, yesterday. Steve New York says, Nancy Pelosi, let's take an inventory of how good she is. A liberal Italian woman who represents San Francisco becomes the first woman speaker twice. That alone shows an ability to maneuver and play political chess quite well. Adding, Congressman Nadler said that we are holding impeachment hearings.
Okay.
Yeah. I mean, your magic go ahead, Sparky.
The one thing you got to remember about Nadler, he said on Rachel's show that Nancy Pelosi has to as far as the House lawyers and everything, because she controls them. Mm-hmm. He can't do a damn thing without her.
Right.
She's okaying all this shit to go forward, all these investigations.
Yeah.
So it's not stopping her.
Well, the thing is, this is all a process.
It's going to lead us where it leads us.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. It's a process. There's a tried and true process that has to be followed, and you can't skip steps. I mean, people had this naive idea that, oh, we'll just vote in articles of impeachment. No, because you need to set the framework, the groundwork for success by following the procedures. And, you know, it's a very intricate kind of thing. And, you know, I'll defer to the pros on this. I'm not a specialist on impeachment law or anything like that. So, you know, if there even is an area of law by that name, and let them do their job, and don't be like a, you know, backseat driver in that endeavor. You know, we don't know what they have.
Right.
We don't know what they've done. We don't know what they've asked for. You know?
Right.
So,
and Steve adds,
we don't know how many articles there's going to be either.
No. This thing could be like War and Peace by the time it's done, because there are so many impeachable offenses. Steve adds, and you have to factor in extensions of time to respond to discovery, motions to compel, motions to quash, court appearances to hash out discovery disputes before a clerk and a judge. And, you know, and this, and I'm still, I forget who came up with the answer. Maybe it was Julian Castro, who said, we have to impeach, because if we don't, he'll say, look, there was nothing there. The case has to be made to the American people. And all the time, we have to recognize what's going to happen in the Senate.
Yes. Yeah.
But as Barbara Jordan said, the House cannot be concerned with whether or not the Senate will do its constitutional job. The House has a specific job.
I think the House needs to consider that, and I think that's what Nancy's trying to do. With your magic eight ball, Bob, you look out into the future, and who's going to have the better political spin machine when it's all said and done? The only thing we know that's a given in this whole thing is that the Senate will dismiss. There is no question about that. That's not even a question. That's automatic. We know that.
As it stands right now.
There is nothing in the world that's going to change that, Sparky. Really.
You don't know that.
This Senate?
There could be something.
There's no Dirks in
really there. Drafted that could come out.
Well, okay. All right, Sparky, let me put you on the spot then. Tell me the drastic thing that would make Lindsey Graham vote to convict on a bill of impeachment.
I don't know the drastic thing. Somebody, it's out there, though.
Well, what about shooting somebody on Fifth Avenue? Would that fit the bill, Sparky?
A live boy and a dead hooker.
Well, there you go.
Hey, Tracy.
Hi, Tracy.
Yeah, but
who knows what he can do next to just go, oh, that's it. I've had enough.
I don't know.
Yesterday,
45 years ago, yesterday was the day that Nixon resigned, and I remember it like it was the back of my hand. Him climbing on that helicopter and waving goodbye. Because I was sitting watching the TV in the convalescent ward of Travis Air Force Base Hospital. You remember things like that. That's what they say about the history of this thing. They've got to impeach him just for the history.
Well, I would agree with that, Sparky. I mean, there's a really good case for that. But the problem is, I'm just so concerned that the Democrats don't know how to play the spin game, right? And when this is all said and done, and you know, the Republicans and Fox News and all them, 8chan, 4chan, all that shit, they're going to spin the thing. Like, he's totally exonerated now. If he wasn't exonerated before, he's definitely exonerated now. Look, he's still in the White House. And I'm concerned about that.
Well, you know, the one thing that does change things a little bit, I don't know if it moves the needle much at all, But the Moscow Mitch thing has has wounded McConnell.
Mm-hmm.
And his grudging refusal to act on bills that are in front of him regarding gun violence, when you look at the numbers in terms of the American people wanting something done, you know, instant background checks on all purchases, not just retail purchases across the counter, close the gun show loophole, those sorts of things.
Straw man purchases.
I don't know that any of that's going to change, because remember, dude in Gilroy just drove to Nevada, lived in Nevada a little while, bought himself an AR-15, and came back and shot a garlic festival. Young white dude in Allen, Texas, had his AK, and mama was worried and called the cops, and they said, well, he's free, he's 21, he ain't a criminal, he's got a right to have one of them. God bless America. But just because it won't stop everyone doesn't mean you don't try to stop some. People still run red lights. People still run stop signs, and yet we still have stop signs and red lights.
18-year-olds still drink booze.
Yeah. Yeah. So, I mean, you see what I'm getting at. Now, so if McConnell is wounded, there are Republicans, I like to believe, and understanding the danger of the use of the word believe, there are Republicans who, if they thought they had the cover to do it, would slip a shiv between Mitch's ribs. I know one of them who's not running in 2020 is retiring. And one of his staffers once said to us, well, you know, we can do these things as quick as y'all get us a new Senate majority leader.
Mm. Right.
Is that senator from Tennessee?
Yep.
Well, I'll tell you what, the stuff in Utah, you know, there was that town hall in Utah, and that Republican, I guess that's a pretty red district, and they were kicking his ass.
Yeah, that's the same guy who's on CNN all the time, Chris Stewart.
So maybe
is that the one when they say, well, but Manson didn't kill anybody?
That's the guy.
Yeah, that's
the guy.
Yes.
Oh, speaking of Manson, guess what I'm seeing tonight?
Once Upon a Time in Hollywood.
And today's a very special day because it's the 50th anniversary to the day of the first killings of the Manson family, of Sharon Tate and everybody else in that house.
Jesus.
I saw it Saturday.
Yeah. I heard it has a very interesting twist, which we're not going to ruin for everybody. Somebody spoiled it for me already, so I'm not going to...
Did they really?
Return the favor. I was reading somewhere something, and it spoiled it. Some internet-like article I was reading on my phone.
And they didn't even do a spoiler alert? Oh, fuckers.
No, they didn't do the spoiler alert. The topic was 18 ways in which Tarantino got the Manson family right.
Stop that.
Don't look at that article, anybody.
Well, he's telling you not to look at that article because
there's another mass murderer from history that never gets any play.
Who's that?
Juan Corona.
Who is that?
Juan Corona, he's the beer maker?
No, I knew you were going to do that. That is an anti that's an anti-cowbell, Rick.
Oh, God.
You just lost a cowbell. A future cowbell will not be awarded because of that.
You are now in a negative.
Negative. Oh my God.
Bell, Rick, you have to now have two things to come back to get.
Yeah, you got to have two zingers to get one now.
Oh gosh. Oh well, that's the way it goes.
You're now in the rears. Come on.
Oh really?
that's pitiful. I'm ashamed of you as a fellow Southern Californian.
That was right over home plate. That was right over home plate.
No, on top of the fact that you're not, see, and I was going to give you props because, see, and you're not even really a Southern Californian because you weren't born here.
That's true.
See,
no, you did not just play the not from around here card.
I'm Iowegian. Go back to where I came from. Is that it, Tracy?
Yes, go back to where you came from. That's
what Billy's own there. Back to the cornfield.
Hey, speaking of that, there's going to be a game. The White Sox, the Yankees and the White Sox are playing at the Field of Dreams in Dyersville, Iowa.
I heard that.
They just announced that. That was wild.
I'm going to have to go. I'm a huge White Sox fan.
I got to go just because I'm an Iowan. I'm not a big White Sox fan, but I don't mind them. I'm
Rick,
a Cubs fan.
Rick, we should go together. Rick, we should get tickets together, buddy.
I think so.
It's not already sold out?
I don't think they've sold the tickets yet. They just announced it. Yeah, they're going to build like temporary bleachers. 8,000 people is all that will be able to attend it.
There's going to be last minute White Sox fans. That's going to be huge.
Oh, it's going to be nationally televised. Oh yeah, yeah.
Will there be corn past the outfield fence?
Absolutely, absolutely.
Oh, that's fantastic. That's great. Oh, I was thinking about you, Rick.
The teams come out of the corn.
They're
going to have to. Bob and I were talking about places to go, you know, because he was talking about going to Pink's, and I really don't like Pink's, but I wanted to ask you your opinion between Pink's and Tommy's. Me personally, I prefer Tommy's. What's your take?
This is for burger places?
No, hot dogs.
It's King's and Tommy's.
Pink's.
Oh, Pink's and Tommy's. Well, I don't think I've had a Tommy's dog. I may have had a. May have had a Pink's dog. My favorite is the Dodger dogs. I like to go there and, you know, once a year have a Dodger dog at the Dodger That's Stadium. True.
But see, he wants the chili. He has to have, you know, the whole
the chili
thing.
Yeah. I don't know. I'm not a big hot dog guy, so can't help you with that.
Wait a minute. You're from Iowa and you don't like meat in tube form?
Not so much.
What's wrong with you? See? There went another cowbell.
There you go, another cowboy.
Oh, my God. Negative two again.
Three.
Oh, my God.
Three to get one, man. That's tough odds.
Bob, if I contribute, can I, like, ameliorate penalty?
Oh, Jesus Christ. We're selling indulgences now. We're the medieval Catholic Church.
Oh, Jesus. Wow.
Hey, I was raised Catholic. What can I say?
Wow. Gee, Rick. Gee.
Yeah, I was reared in the Catholic Church.
Oh, that's a negative cowbell as well, I think, Bob.
Hey, Bob.
That's a really weak cowbell, Joe.
That's bad. You guys remember the Iowa County Fair pictures with the Bachmans?
Ow, Marcus, what is that?
Do you remember the Marcus Bachman picture? He sure knows his way around a deep-fried foot-long hot dog.
Oh, yes.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yes. This is when it sucks that I'm the only female on these calls, usually.
I was hoping you wouldn't say that, but, well,
Where are the Sisters of Lean here?
Yeah,
or,
God.
What is that?
Reverse cowbell. Swiss cowbell.
Oh, okay, yeah, Steve's out in front of this. Rick, next he'll tell us he doesn't like deep fried butter on a stick.
No, I don't. I don't like corn dogs either.
Oh.
Or pork chop on a stick.
I like pork chops.
That pork chop on a stick shtick.
That's kind of stupid.
Well, I mean, it's so easy to fuck up a pork chop and dry it out. I can't imagine that. Laying there, you know, selling them to the rubes. Those can't be good.
Now at Disneyland, I have to say, they have a hot link corn dog on a stick. That's pretty tasty.
I bet that's so good. Hey, Tracy. At Tommy's, do they have a real, true blue Chicago-style hot dog?
No, baby. It's just a hot dog with the, you know, with the casing that pops, that snaps.
And chili.
And chili and cheese and onions.
When I went to New York City, I had to get a New York City hot dog.
Mustard and kraut.
My hot dog from.
Is that a Nathan's?
Going no, to street
on,
dogs.
The ferry. On the ferry going to the Statue of Liberty. I got a hot dog.
Nice.
What? Yeah, on the street, what Bourdain used to call the dirty water dog.
There you go.
Yeah.
So Bob, when are you driving your... Going to drive your new car out to California to visit Tracy and me.
Well, I kind of have to get one first, and that's looking that's looking like Slim, and Slim just rode out of town.
Oh, geez.
Yeah,
he needs a co-signer, Vic. You can co-sign for him.
Yeah. Well, I got a funny story to tell you. My son just recently got a car. He got a Corolla, and he doesn't have any credit either, Bob. He had that problem.
Yeah, so just a non. I'm just a non-person.
Right. So he had to have hit my ex sign for him, and she was turned down by Bank of America, Chase. I mean, all the, you know, parasitic banks, and he was turned down, of course, initially for, you know, no credit record, you know, insufficient information, and you know she was turned down as well, and then finally the dealership just decided to stick to their deal, and they offered credit to my son. So he gets to keep his car. You know, they did the sale, and then like a week or two later tried to do the, you know, tried to like finalize the financing, and you know, so that's how it works. So maybe you could just get it directly through the dealer, Bob, if that's possible.
Well, I'm gonna try everything possible, because
So what are you looking at, maybe, Bob? Do you know? You have
I've looked at like three, you know, like a 3-year-old Subaru, you know, something with some reliability to it. There's actually better deals to be had because of all the incentives at the end of the model year. There are actually better deals to be had on new than there are on used.
I believe it.
And when I was talking to my friend at the bank, I was told you're gonna get better financing on new than used.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, that was back when we were presuming there would be financing. you can stretch it out over 72 months, but like a 3-year-old car, you're not gonna get more than 48.
Mm,
yeah. It just. This all just kind of came out of left field, and I was ill. I wasn't looking at. I mean, I'll always stop at a car lot and go, "Damn, that's pretty." And then you know, all the blood drains out of my face when I see the sticker.
Oh, jeez. Yeah.
because you know, even like a brand new Toyota Yaris, is it the Yaris, that entry level car of theirs?
Oh God.
The wind-up toy?
Yeah.
I can't imagine you fit into that, Bob.
You couldn't get me in there with a shoehorn and a bumper jack.
And some lube and WD-40.
Yeah. Dinner in the mountain time zone.
Damn. We see
lube with the mention of the word lube. Yeah. Yeah, I like it. Yeah, I tell you, ain't nothing quite like that Kentucky jelly. but you know, those things are $12,000.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, they won't last.
Bob, I picture you. Right, go ahead.
No, please.
Oh, I picture you trying to fit in that car. Like one time I saw Shaq getting into a sports car, you know, like a NASCAR.
And yeah.
That was hysterical. Hysterical seeing him try to get into that car.
Well, I'm toddling around in a rental right now. It's a Ford Fusion Hybrid, just because that's what they had on the lot this time. You know, like I said, I looked at what, no Sentras, and it's kind of low down on the ground. I mean, there's leg room and everything, but I got to do that cop thing to myself where I put my hand on the back of my head and get myself in under the roof.
Well,
hey, doesn't Moscow Mitch use that Kentucky jelly on Putin?
Hey, Sparky, give him a Swiss cowbell for that, would you? Yeah, not much. No, that's way too much cowbell. Just a couple of jingles for a cheap one like that.
You should have a sound effect, like a kick in the pants sound effect, Bob.
Well, I've got sound effects. It's just that they're not working right now because apparently the sound card has decided to sing with the choir eternal.
Give him a table smash. How about a table smash, Bob?
Oh, there you go.
Oh, the table smash is kind of good for that we'll make future use of that.
Hell, Sparky, it sounds like you've made some movies there at your place, S&M movies there.
Wow. Hey, Bob, a couple of things you might want to check on that card. Have you checked, like, the services file, if anything tried to write to that?
Well, no, I think we've isolated the problem. Randy in PA keeps me posted on tech issues pretty thoroughly. And he sent along a video, and there's a bug or a flaw in USB-C connections. And I think it was a USB-C solid state portable drive that I used to transfer data. Because when I plugged it into this machine yesterday, everything was working, and then all of a sudden it said power surge. A device is trying to use more power than the port can provide.
Yeah, I remember you saying that on the couple days ago, right?
So as far as but here's the nice thing, I think, if I bring the road rig in and just finally do what I've been needing to do, it runs on USB and it should be just fine.
Oh, good.
Unless something awful has happened to the USB ports on this motherboard.
Well, I hope nothing got burned out.
No, well, I mean, it starts. I mean, it runs. It does fine. There's just no goddamned audio.
Crazy. Fucking computers, man. Can't live with them, can't live without them.
You know, wait a minute. Let me just check something. You never know. You hear that? Yeah, that's not good. So I need okay, so apparently y'all didn't even hear that. It makes an ugly noise now when I try to bring up the playback channel.
Oh no.
that flat tire flapping sound.
Yeah, that's what that was.
My recommendation whenever you start fucking with a computer like that is at least have a fifth of fine whiskey near you.
There we go.
And I don't do that anymore.
Or maybe rock up tequila would work as well, I imagine.
Yeah, probably better. Hey, you know, we were talking, and by the way, we're at, 4:30 to finish the week? So getting close. Or, well, we've knocked out some. I mentioned earlier, I didn't know what it was about Hollywood that had prompted Nitwit Nero in his flop sweat to say,
"In Hollywood, they're doing the real racism. They're so racist."
I think.
What was it?
I think I've put two and two together.
Oh, please tell me.
Well,
because I was wondering too.
Okay, so
I'm like, the only thing that just came out this week was The Kitchen, and I'm like, no.
Well, it's not that, and you're not gonna like this, Tracy, because you're gonna wind up.
Is it about the movie about the young man that was falsely convicted of rape?
You know, that could be it, but just based on what social media was doing today, this is my guess. And if I'm right, you're going to just hate it, Tracy, because you're going to wind up rooting for Taylor Swift.
You mean Mayo Cello?
Yeah. Mayo Swift. So here's how it played out. She sat down for an interview with Vogue. And whoever was interviewing her at Vogue said, why weren't you politically active during the 2016 campaign against Trump? Because lately she has gotten more politically active.
Because it sells.
Well, hold on, hold on. So her answer was actually pretty astute. She said, unfortunately, in the 2016 election, you had a political opponent who was weaponizing the idea of the celebrity endorsement. He was going around saying,
I'm the man of the people, I'm for you, I care about you.
And she said, I just knew I wasn't going to help. Also, you know, the summer before that election, and what she's about to say is true, the summer before that election, all people were saying was, she's calculated. She's manipulative. She's not what she seems. She's a snake. She's a liar. And, you know, I remember people in the chat room here who refused to not call her Hitlery. Now, these are supposed progressives. Couldn't get them to stop calling her Hitlery. And so what she says there is correct. And then she says, would I be an endorsement or would I be a liability? Oh, look, snakes of a feather flock together. Look, the two lying women, the two nasty women. She said, literally millions of people were telling me to disappear. So I disappeared in many senses. So far, I've got no fight with her. So after that comes out, and this happened today at 11:34 a.m. Eastern Daylight Time. The washed-up has been Confederate flag-flying fraud who is Kid Rock. Tweeted, Taylor Swift wants to be a Democrat because she wants to be in movies, period. And it looks like she'll suck the doorknob off of Hollyweird to get there. Oldest move in the book. Good luck, girl. Kid Rock. Now, she didn't say shit about Kid Rock.
I got a question, Bob. Well, is Kid Rock going to be in concert anywhere in Southern California?
Oh, yeah. You know what? The horn will probably pitch in for your tickets if you'll promise to use your powers for good.
I will. Yeah.
Tell me how much tickets are out
there. Yeah, absolutely.
Now, let's remember, this guy, when he does put on a concert, does so with a giant Confederate flag behind him.
Oh, God.
And he's been vocal about how heritage, not hate, and all that silly shit. And Kid Rock got roasted. He got awesome. He got ratioed into the next zip code on Twitter for that.
Good.
I mean, suck a doorknob off of Hollyweird.
Oh my
God. Wow,
that's horrible.
Jeez.
I saw Lee Greenwood. I was watching late night TV. I had the sound down on the TV though, because I was listening to a podcast. I saw Lee Greenwood. He was hawking charity to that veterans fund. I think that it was the same one that got caught with all the corruption and graft and everything that was going on. DA something. Do you guys remember what I'm talking about?
Right off the top of my head, no.
There was a veterans charity group that was investigated, and I can't remember on what.
Oh, what was it? The Wounded Warriors Project that Hannity was hustling.
I think that's right. Now this might not have been that, and it might not even be affiliated. I assumed it was because I thought Lee Greenwood, right? So I assumed it's a graft of some sort, you know. And it was on at 2 a.m. So but the Wounded Warriors Fund, yes, that's where there was a shitload of corruption and none of the money was going to veterans. What I do remember.
Well, Patton Oswalt came along and was among those who burned Kid Rock down to ash. And
Patton Oswalt was hilarious.
Yeah, so Kid Rock's name isn't Kid, it's Bob. And Patton Oswalt responded, Amen, Bob. She should be a real American like you, growing up on a six-acre estate complete with tennis court and horse paddock, and then bravely adopting a faux redneck shit-kicker cosplay persona. God bless you, Buddy Ruff.
Oh, they deserve a cowbell, Bob.
Yeah, no shit.
Yeah, that's a remote pat. Yeah, that's a remote celebrity cowbell for Patton Oswalt. But since that happened at 11:30, we'd have to see what time that he was out there flop sweating and howling about racist Hollywood.
But then again, how was what she said racist?
Well, no. It's the fact that people pointed out when Kid Rock tweeted what he did, they jumped right on his Confederate flag.
Okay. You know, because you have to help me, you know, because I'm still trying to be learning about that reverse racism. Oh.
I-O-K-I-Y-A-R, Tracy. That's what you got to remember.
Well, speaking of racism, today is weigh-in Friday, and I'm down another 2 pounds. And
yay.
So total now 24 pounds.
Well done.
So we have moments that we talk about stuff and, you know, our week. And, you know, I had a really bad week. Just the way how the week affected me with the racism and the hate. And I said, you know, there's a lot of things that I can't control. And I said, I can't control racism. I can't control evil. I can't control hate. But the one thing that I did control over the week, I did control my eating, except for the albondigas soup. That I did not control.
You got to pass on that.
Yeah, I did control that. I controlled every morsel, every bite. And the homemade tortillas with the ooey gooey cheese. Yes.
Oh, that
but
hurts.
But I still got up in the morning and I worked out. I still, you know, tracked everything that I ate and I still managed to lose weight. But I was talking about, you know, after the meeting, I made quips throughout the meeting. And somebody asked me, well, have you, you know, do you ever do stand up? And I said, I did for a moment, but I said something about, I said, you know, my wife and I are the hate crime trifecta. And somebody said, what? I said, yeah, I'm black, she's Jewish, and we're lesbians. I said, we are the hate crime trifecta. And I said, you throw in my racially ambiguous son, he could be a Muslim. I'm like, oh, my God. I'm like, we are a walking, talking hate crime. And they're like, oh, my God, only, they're like, I said, you know, people don't know how to, they don't know how to approach me. I said, look, I have to laugh at this shit because the only thing that keeps me from losing my mind, because I said, at least I'm thank God that Jan is a heathen, because I don't have to worry about her going to temple, because, I mean, seriously, this is a woman who, when her mother was alive, her mother called her one day during Passover, and she asked her, what are you doing? And Jan's like, you know, I think she either said eating shrimp cocktail or eating a ham sandwich, something to that effect. I mean, that's just the kind of woman, that's the kind of Jew. My wife loves Christmas and pork more than I ever will. Okay, that's just the kind of Jew.
My wife bacon, right?
Huh?
She likes bacon?
Oh, honey, my wife is swining and dining. And
three words, shrimp and grits.
Right, shrimp and grits. She would be, she loves her some pork on her fork, okay?
Awesome.
I mean, she eats more pork. I have never eaten as much pork in my life as I have eaten since I have been with this woman, okay? I mean, this woman will, I mean, she loves her pork. She loves her shrimp. I'm telling you. But, man, this has just been, this last week, like I said, I've never really worried. I've been dealing with racism all my life. I'm a black woman. That's what I do. This is just who I am. But now, smart ass. But like I said, I never thought in the 53 years
of being on this earth that I ever thought that I would have, that I would actually physically have to worry about my physical, my safety, my life, because of who I am, and because of my race, and because of who I choose to love.
Can you imagine you're living in Mississippi right now, Tracy?
Well, see, this is what I'm saying. I'm like, you know, this is like, wait a minute. This is not, you know, this is not Mississippi or Birmingham, Alabama, circa 1950, 60, whatever. This is 2019. I thought we were past it. I know we're not past the racism, but I thought we were past the violence. But I guess not. Yesterday, I was watching on the news. Hey, Rick, remember, how long have you been out here, Rick, in California, in L.A.?
Since 1985, August of 85. This is my anniversary month, moving to Cali.
So you remember in 99 when that fool killed, did that attack on the Jewish community center.
Oh, the synagogue killer. Yeah.
Right. And killed Simon the
Eisenthal community center, yeah. Something like that. Yeah, okay.
And they had, as a matter of fact, they had the Museum of Tolerance did a remembrance for the Filipino mail carrier that was murdered.
Oh, that's right. I remember that. That was so tragic. Yeah.
Because it was 20 years ago this week.
Wow.
And 1999. And so the rabbi mentioned the two worst the two hate crimes that have spiked in this country are, you know, for racial, for black people, and religious, for Jewish people. Mm-hmm. And then here I am with my wife. She's Jewish and I'm black.
Right.
And so like I said, we are the hate crime trifecta because we're both lesbians.
Mm. Yeah.
And that is just, I'm like, wow.
Tracy, can you believe those parentless kids now, all the people that were rounded up in Mississippi?
680 people, right? It was 680?
Something like that.
Yeah. I mean,
half of them have been released.
They on their own recognizance?
Well, half of
them. Yeah, because they were citizens.
They weren't here illegally.
Uh-oh. Oh, my God.
That's why I've been saying the purpose of this had nothing to do with immigration. The purpose of this was simply to torment these people for the benefit and the enjoyment of the maggots.
Oh, and Donald Trump as well.
Unionization, right? And they were trying to unionize or something like that, I heard. And so they wanted to break that shit up, right? So here we are back in that era.
They had filed, apparently, grievances against the company under, I think, the EEOC and for sexual discrimination, and there was, like, a multimillion-dollar judgment.
There was a $3.75 million judgment entered against them in that EEOC suit, and this was retaliation.
Yeah.
If some intrepid journalist would do a comparison between the people arrested versus the people who got paid, you'd probably see a Venn diagram that looked just like a circle.
Right.
Because as Mike Elk pointed out, and I went over this last night, the same thing happened a couple of years in Ohio.
Mm.
People dropped a dime on a chicken processing facility in Ohio, and the next day ICE was there.
Mm. Wow.
Yeah! Wow.
I got one for us on the we're running low on time. I got something here because this won't hold till more in Monday, and I think I've got audio.
Okay.
And I figured out another way to get audio. Ooh.
Bob, I'm going to throw in 20 towards the cause here. Okay.
Oh, thank you, Rick. Bob. Thank you.
Sure.
You too, Bob. So that takes us down to 410. 410. We'll start this by noting that Chuck Todd must certainly be the simplest soul, if he's not willfully ignorant, he is the simplest soul ever to call himself a journalist. That's another way of saying moron.
You're too kind, Bob.
Well, I'm trying to make this, you know, not be real hateful or anything. So this evening they had him live from Iowegia. All right. And he's talking about this issue of whether Donald Trump is a white supremacist. And let's make this clear. You know, there's that old saying that you do not visit the sins of the father upon the children. Okay? On the other hand, and so, you know, just because Donald Trump's dad was a Klansman doesn't mean that Donald Trump is a white supremacist. On the other hand, however, because racism is a taught thing, a learned thing, and not a genetic thing, you can make an argument that if you grow up around racism, you've got a better chance that you too will wind up a racist. So let's check in with Joke Toad. All right, Chuck Todd.
If it's Friday, it's Beat the Press Daily, and good evening. I'm Chuck Todd, coming to you live from...
Are y'all hearing that?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Sioux City, in the great state of Iowa, which is the epicenter of the presidential race right now. 17 candidates are in the Hawkeye State today alone, with more on the way this weekend. I just spoke with one of them, Senator Kamala Harris. In a moment, we'll show you what she said about supporting gun legislation in the Senate, which is a major issue today after the president claimed that he, Mitch McConnell, and even the NRA would support legislation that would strengthen background checks, which was apparently news to Mitch McConnell and the NRA. We'll get into that. Also coming up, we'll have the latest in the fallout from the administration's immigration raids, which have left child welfare services scrambling to deal with children who came home from school to find out their parents had been arrested.
Again, intentionally. Right here in Iowa,
at a moment when virtually all of the candidates are descending on this state, there is widespread agreement from this field that it believes the president is effectively a white supremacist.
Now, did you hear the amazement in his voice as he said that? A white supremacist.
Like, oh my God.
Do you believe that the president is a white supremacist?
I believe everything the president says and has done encourages white supremacists. And I'm not sure there's much of a distinction.
That's Biden.
You can't keep trying to stir this up, give aid and comfort, be embraced by the white supremacists, and then say, oh, but not me.
Do you think that President Trump is a white supremacist?
I do.
Is the president a white supremacist?
He is.
Do you agree?
I do.
Based Bernie. On his words and actions, yes, he is a white supremacist.
Andrew Yang.
To me, that seems to be his belief, sure.
Julian Castro.
That he has said would be things that white supremacists would say.
Andy
there
Klobuchar.
Are certainly white supremacists that think Donald Trump has their back.
The weakest two answers are given by Amy Klobuchar of Minnesota, who, and Minnesota just barely went for Hillary, and Steve Bullock of Montana, who says, well, there are white supremacists who think he is, can't quite bring himself to say that Donald Trump is a white supremacist. And Kamala?
I think you should ask him that question.
Ooh, dodging the question. I think you should ask him.
You're going to say, what's a white supremacist?
Interesting that Kamala was unwilling to drive that tack. So now, here comes, so we've had all these clips. Here comes Joke Toad.
It's pretty astonishing how much the Democratic field an array of Democrats from different flavors of the Democratic Party, different ideologies, you name it, all speaking in one voice. Here's President Trump, though, speaking with reporters at the White House earlier today.
Yeah, well, fuck him. So, Chuck Todd is amazed. Okay, who's echoing back at me? Chuck Todd is amazed. That ain't me.
Is that you, Joe? Yeah.
Yeah. Chuck Todd is amazed that a whole bunch of Democrats can watch Donald Trump be a white supremacist and then turn around and say he's a white supremacist. Like I said, willfully ignorant or simpleton? You make the call.
Simpleton.
Yep.
Collaborator.
Complicit.
You know, Trump projected himself all the way to the White House. You know, I mean, he did this all throughout the campaign. Every single one of his Republican, you know, the people he bounced out, everybody on the clown bus, all he did was project.
Hey, Joe, you're feeding back at us, buddy.
He did that to every single one. Cruz and Jeb and Christie. That's all he did. And then he finally did it against Hillary, too, of course. You know, you're the Russian puppet. Remember that?
No. I'm no puppet. You're the puppet. You're the puppet.
Worked. And it fucking worked, and he's in. So that's all he knows and how to do, and it works for him. It's crazy.
Yeah. Meanwhile, a little cowbell for Steve in New York. Breaking news: the Pope is Catholic. You know, Trump is a white supremacist. Breaking news: the Pope is Catholic.
Bear shit found in woods. Yeah.
All right. Thank you, Chris. Alongside Billable Rick, we've now gotten it down under $400.
All right.
So we are now down to $390.
Hey, I got to tell you, guys, funny story. That chicken place that was raided, I actually worked there through college.
In Mississippi?
No, the one in Canton, Ohio.
Actually. Oh, okay, yeah.
Sugardale, yeah. And then 10 minutes from where I live, this made national news, a mixed family had their house burned down and a swastika painted on
the garage. I read about that.
Yeah. Oh, that's like 10 minutes from where I live. Yep.
Oh, God.
And they said they're not going to rebuild there because, you say they had their house burned down. It was actually a little more complex than that. They had their house blown up.
Right. Yeah.
Because at first the fire officials in Ohio were investigating it as a gas leak explosion. Nobody was hurt. Nobody was killed. But then they found the swastikas.
Yep.
It's kind of like what happened at the Highlander Center in Tennessee.
Unbelievable. I didn't realize the Pope was Catholic.
I always thought he was a Presbyterian.
You're both moving further into negative cowbell, guys.
Rick's running out of negative cowbells.
So we had the Springfield, Missouri story of the guy getting caught, possibly getting ready to shoot up a Walmart. News out of Las Vegas today: the FBI Joint Terrorism Task Force there, they've arrested a white supremacist extremist. That's a suspected white supremacist extremist. KTNV-TV reporting a Southern Nevada man who is employed as a security guard was charged and arraigned in federal court today in connection to bomb-making materials found at his Las Vegas home following an FBI-led joint terrorism task force investigation. Threats of violence motivated by hate and intended to intimidate or coerce our faith-based and LGBTQ communities have no place in this country, U.S. Attorney Nicholas A. Trutanich said. The defendant, a guy named Klimo, Connor Klimo, 23, white and male. He was in communication with individuals who identified with white supremacist extremist organization using the National Socialist Movement to promote their ideology, you know, Nazis. Members believe in the superiority of the white race and have a common goal of challenging the established laws, social order, and government via terrorism and other violent acts. The organization, yada, yada, yada. So, Tucker Carlson, after declaring white supremacy to be a hoax, decided to go and spend more time with his family
I wonder if he went on vacation with Tommy Lauren, Aryan White Barbie.
Yeah, Jesus, I know.
Yeah. He's under the desk. Sure.
But this sort of puts the lie to what he said, but not only that, this also points to what FBI Director Chris Wray said a week or so ago when he said that fully more than half of the domestic terrorism cases in the United States are white supremacist inspired.
Yes, the numbers are pretty clear.
Yeah, damn clear.
Now, I saw Vice News a couple of nights ago, and they had a reporter talking about how it's so difficult to prosecute these assholes for terrorism charges. It's way easier to, like, foreign nationals, you know, Islamic terrorists, and if, you know, they do something, those are relatively easy, but the statutes, and I don't really understand why, you know, but they're just much, much, much harder to prosecute these folks for what is obviously terrorism. And it's insane. These are fucking terrorists. And you charge them with terrorism. And
the thing is, there is no domestic terrorism charge in the U.S. Code, but there is for international terrorism. That's why it's difficult. Yeah. You've got to find an underlying predicate crime you can charge these fuckers with. In order to go after him, basically, is what happens.
What did we charge the Oklahoma City bomber with?
Well, explosives violations. Essentially, murder.
Yeah, murder.
Right?
Murder.
He was a murderer, right? It was murder. Yeah. It was plain old simple murder, right?
Yeah.
But not
so what they're probably doing now, El Paso is charging with 22 counts of murder. And he'll never see the light of day.
No, he won't.
In Texas, he'll get electrocuted.
What I found amazing is the story that came out today that the reason he drove, 900 miles or 600 miles for I don't know how many hours away from Dallas was because he didn't want 10 hours. He basically didn't want his friends and family members to know that it was him because he didn't want to do it in the Dallas area. It's like, come on, man.
Well, and news reports now suggest that he has told police that he specifically went to El Paso to kill Mexicans.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Yeah. So the first story was just a lie. Right?
And if anybody's wondering why they don't see Beto out on the campaign trail, he's too busy going to funerals.
Yeah.
Well, the thing about Trump saying his crowd is so much bigger than Beto's, it's like, and, you know, they juxtapose that with Trump with the picture of the Trump and Melania with the picture of the new orphan smiling with a thumb up by Trump with Beto actually hugging somebody who'd lost or who was at the scene of the shooting and had seen all the carnage. And he was actually being a human and expressing condolences as opposed to trying to speak to a big crowd. You know, it's totally ridiculous. You know?
That baby's a prop.
Yeah, he said the day on his Facebook page that he was in Sila Juarez going to a funeral yesterday.
Yeah.
And he was meeting with Mexican officials down there.
Right.
At the funeral.
The new Beto, Pac-Man was talking about it, and Beto has, his whole campaign, he's been reserved. He's been, you know, we haven't seen the real Beto, but we saw him this week. We saw the real Beto, and if we keep seeing the real Beto, those numbers may climb.
He might get back in the top tier.
The fact of the matter is, I don't think he's. I mean, I don't think he's doing this for that.
No, he's not. He's definitely not.
But I will say that there is political. This is so cynical. There's political value to it, but it is not national political value. That's a guy, and I bet John Bridivo would even agree. That's a guy who has a damn good shot, if he wants it, of being the next governor of Texas. He's kind of out of the loop for running for Senate. There won't be another Senate race in Texas until 2024 when Raffaelito's up again. That's a guy who can, I think, you know, he is young.
Yeah.
And, you know, a little stint as governor of Texas would not hurt his presidential ambitions, which he obviously has.
There's governors from Texas who've become president.
Yeah, I don't want to think about that right now, Chris.
I mean, it's kind of odd that because being governor of Texas is actually one of the easiest governoring jobs there is, because the governor isn't that powerful in Texas, and you've got a legislature that he only has to deal with twice in 4 years.
Well, that's weird.
Because their legislature only meets every 2 years. I like the guy. He's a likable guy. And I wish to God I wish he would have decided to just run for John Cornholio's seat. But as it is, Texas has a damned good candidate, a Democrat candidate for his seat, and that is MJ Hager. Because she's something special. Oh, and I got to share a note with y'all. This just came from Steve, another member of the fraternity of Steve. This is amazing. I hope Steve's still listening. Sorry that more people don't donate, but I'm sending you $500 tomorrow morning in the mail, because your programs of late have helped me get through these dark days. Take 100 of it for you and your sidekick, otherwise known as the boss, otherwise known as Agnes, to have some food and drinks on me. Keep the faith. Our country is stronger and bigger than any one man or woman. Biden's a little old, but he can win over the Midwest, and Warren would make a good VP. I know that ticket would lack racial diversity, but we have to go for the win. I'll look for you next week. Well, I'm doing the best I can to keep to my promise. With a few notable exceptions, I don't trash the Democratic candidates. There are a few people I wish would go away and stop sucking the oxygen out of the room. Yes, Marianne Williamson. Yes, Andrew Yang.
Tulsi.
Yes, Tulsi. John Hickenlooper. John Hickenlooper may be going away to decide to run for Senate, which would be just Jim. I'd like him in the Senate better than just a failed presidential candidate. I'll vote for whomever the Democratic nominee is, including any of those that I just said I wish would go away.
Nobody's running against Cory Gardner yet?
No, there are. I think there's a couple of there's at least one announced candidate, but if Hickenlooper got in, he would immediately be he'd have the inside track, and Gardner is in so damn much trouble, he may be beatable. He's the 2020 cycles, Claire McCaskill, Joe Manchin, and Heather, what's her name from North Dakota? Was her name Heather?
No, the redhead Heidi.
Heidi. Yeah, Joe was supposed to be the most vulnerable Democrat in the field, and that didn't really materialize because they ran a pill pushing the opioid lobbyist against him.
Morrissey or something like that. Patrick Morrissey, was that it?
Yeah, pill pushing Patty.
Yeah.
So we actually with what Steve just did, we made it to the end of the week with a lot of help from everybody else. So that is tremendous.
Wow, that's huge.
And that means we get a fresh start come Monday. Thank you, Steve. Thank you very much indeed. And I'll tell Boss Man Wayne to be on the lookout for the check. So that goes into the weekend a little less terrifying. I just saw a photo of the guy who was arraigned in Las Vegas. Have you seen that? Have you seen that collage of you know, various and sundry shooters who, you know, and you know, they've all, you know, the guy from Sandy Hook's there and the guy from Aurora, and they've all got that woohoo look in their eye.
The Gabby Gilroy guy.
This guy. Yeah, this guy was ready to go.
Hmm.
His selfies, especially the one before he puts on all his tactical gear and his ball cap. Oh man, yeah, he's got that browsing for clown suits look on his face.
Oh man.
And I have a feeling they're going to come out of the woodwork.
There's more where they came from, no doubt.
They always do.
Well, and that's, you know, that's the argument that I've made here on this program for so many years. There are far more of them than anyone dares suspect.
There's more of us than there are of them, but there's a lot of them. And there's more than we thought.
Doesn't take that many of them, though, to really screw things up, though. That's the problem.
Yeah.
Right. And they're trying to intimidate people. They're and you know, this it's more than, I don't know how to put this without coming off wrong or sounding wrong. It is more than just random It is more than simply random acts of violence. It is the randomness itself that makes the violence so much worse. Because it becomes an assault on civil society. In other words, not to give any credence to Alex Jones, but it is a form of civil warfare. We Americans have a view of civil war that is colored by, among other things, the bullshit of the Lost Cause and the romance of the boys in butternut and the boys in blue lining up with using Napoleonic tactics and slaughtering the shit out of each other with modern, what were for them, modern weapons ill-suited to Napoleonic tactics. And so what you wind up with is people not understanding what civil war is. And as someone who coined the term cold civil war, I can tell you that it does not, no, I've not been in one, but again, history is instructive. Civil war doesn't always have uniforms on either side. Study what happened in the former Yugoslavia as it shattered into a million pieces. You got people running around with AK-47s wearing Adidas tracksuits. Okay? There are no uniforms. The command structure is loose by definition. But what is happening in this American version is that they are trying, these white supremacists, these Nazis, they are trying to destroy civil society, not in the traditional manner that you often see in typical civil war, that is, attacks on government itself. Because there is an innate understanding of how it is exactly that we live our little American lives. And what I mean by that is that we're a people who mostly, you know, we live in our bubble here, so we talk about a lot of politics. But that's not most of America. Most of America lives their little lives of quiet desperation at Walmart and in escapes to the occasional movie. And we send our children to school, public schools, constantly under assault by Republicans from a financial standpoint and a philosophical standpoint. We send our children to the public school system because we know that education is their only hope. And in much of America, the public school system is all there is. And that's why in a place like West Virginia, when they come out with their idiotic proposals for charter schools, a lot of people stood up and said, oh, hell no. Because we cannot afford to give away our public school system to people who discriminate and see schools as a profit center.
Betsy DeVos.
Yeah, fuck you, Betsy.
Yeah, bingo. And so when they attack our schools, when they attack our Walmarts, when they attack our movie theaters and our grocery stores, and when they march around in our stores and our public spaces armed to the teeth, they're telling us that the very essence of our American lives are unsafe because they insist upon making it unsafe. And I got a feeling I'm one of the only people who's analyzing it this way.
No, I totally agree with that, Bob. But you know, can I turn this around a little bit? So you sit these fuckers down. Let's say you sat down 10 of these white supremacists, you know, and you said, "So do you have respect for Al Qaeda, the members of Al Qaeda, and the their jihad and this and that?" And of course, every single one of them is going to say, "Oh, they're godless heathens, and they're going to hell, and this and that." They're using the same fucking mentality and tactics that a bomber would, right? There's no difference.
That goes back to something that I've said. And by the way, thank you to Michael and thank you to Elizabeth for jumping in as well. That's tremendous in this. Terrifying month. I don't think the horn's ever been closer to collapse unintentionally. You know, the fundraising's going, but I don't think we've ever been closer to collapse than we are now. Just because of, you know, one little family disaster. And that's the way America lives. Uh-huh. And that's, you know, that's part and parcel. But yeah, they've got plenty in common. I've always said that it's probably better that the evangelical Christians don't sit down and talk with the fundamentalist Muslims because they'll find out how much they've got in common. And if they ever do that, we really are fucked.
Tell me this. What's the difference between the mullahs in Iran and our Supreme Court? Any difference?
Or the mullahs in Iran, I think. I would say the mullahs in Iran.
The Supreme Court wears black robes.
I would say the mullahs in Iran and our most powerful TV preachers.
Well, there you go. You're Rick Wiles. Yeah.
The mullahs in Iran hate Jews, and so does Rick Wiles.
Yeah.
Okay.
And his dog doesn't like Jews.
New study out that people are abandoning religion.
Wait, what was that, Sparky? I missed the first part.
There's a new study out I read the other day about the people are abandoning religion.
Oh, that's good.
Yeah, I mean, fully more than 20% of America wants nothing to do with any of it. And a lot of that has to do with the assholes who are out there on social media preaching away.
Airwaves in flyover country, Bob.
I like to think I can tell when the algorithms are being messed with and when the bots are getting real active. For the last 3 to 4 weeks, I have seen a huge uptick in my social media feed of religious malarkey that I don't subscribe to or go looking for. Like one I saw today said, you know, an alcoholic doesn't have to be an alcoholic. He can stop drinking, and a pill head doesn't have to be a pill head. They can stop doing the opioids, and a gay person doesn't have to be gay. They can quit being gay. And you just look at that, and you know that's a fucking Russian bot.
Right.
Yeah.
And yeah, they're going to be on supercharge.
And it's no coincidence that at the same time, the Trump regime's out there pissing and moaning about, oh, they're silencing conservative voices. bullshit. But I can tell there's been changes in the way, and there's been a lot of changes in the way and the reach of my Twitter feed.
What's his new favorite news channel? What's it called? One America News? Is that it?
OAN. It's a reversed consonant away from being the name of the guy that God killed for masturbating onto the ground instead of fucking his brother's wife.
Yeah.
Every time I see it, it's Onan. It's One America News Now, OANN.
Mm.
And they think that Fox is a bunch of commie pantyway sissies.
So Bob, you were saying before Chris made that comment about the reach of your Twitter feed changing, like being more wider, or what? What are you talking about exactly?
Well, the right wing claims that right wing voices are being suppressed, and what that arose from is the fact that at one point in time, Twitter went through and cleaned out a shitload of bots, because you got to remember that half of Donald Trump's followers are bought, B-O-U-G-H-T, bot, mm-hmm. B-O-T, followers.
Mm-hmm. Right. Right.
And so now there's been a second wave of them come through.
Okay.
It's crazy. I saw that thing where Mitch's Twitter account was suspended, or his tweet got deleted because there were so much cuss words at his rally. Did you see that?
I saw something about it, but I didn't catch it all.
Yeah, it was just funny. It was nice to see that Mitch got punked because of other people screaming epitaphs at him.
Oh, they were screaming at him? That's beautiful.
At it, yes. And then they had to delete the tweet because it was too...
And see, the white wing, including Rona Romney McDaniel, apparently she's the dumbest Romney. She's the Jethro Bodine of the Romneys. The right wing is still out there playing their butt hurt card. That Joaquin Castro, he doxed innocent Texans, and they just keep repeating the lie until it becomes the truth. And some of the complicit members of the multimillionaire for profit media go, "Yeah, he doxed them."
Bullshit! That's public record.
You can't dox with a goddamn public record. But that doesn't change them from sitting there and telling their lies. Hey guys, I gotta shut everything down. I want to thank you all for jumping in. It's been a fantastic conversation, and once again, you have taken a lot of the stress out of another stressful Friday. So thank you all very much.
We love the entire Kincaid clan, Bob.
Yeah, you take care, Bob. All right, you hang in there.
We're trying. Thank y'all. And so I will close with a note from Lady B. This is going to start out sounding a bit like a personal attack, she says. It's not meant to be. But when you guys were lawyer-splaining to us why we legally couldn't draw up articles of impeachment sooner, I was exasperated. And that doesn't feel like a personal attack. It feels like exasperation. And I feel it, too. Thank God for the legal system. Things literally would be undisciplined and chaotic without it. Fact-based evidence and paper trails trump immediate concerns and grievances. It's disciplined and orderly. It establishes a template for how to deal with shit like this in the future. We knew how to deal with a president who got a blowjob. That was simple. This is a little more serious. This takes time. I'll add editorially, so was Nixon, and so did it. Lady B says, but us minorities, immigrants, and other innocent people shopping at Walmart have to put up with Trump's race baiting and the crazy right-wing extremist shit until the 2020 elections, if not long after. Then we possibly might win the White House back. Then we may possibly might be able to return this country to normal. Justice will eventually be served, but more people will die. Y'all know that, and you're angry and frustrated about it, too. Nobody feels more passionate about this shit than the members of the Horn family. Bless us, I guess. And when Lady B says justice will eventually be served, the old saying is that the wheels of justice grind slowly, but they grind exceeding fine. Lady B continues, we are small parts of a big picture, but damn it, I feel important. I don't want to be the victim of a white supremacist attack. I'm a fucking native-born American born to native-born parents. I deserve to live my life as freely and comfortably as any white American does. The president needs to go. Now. So grind on, wheels of justice. At least we'll have an airtight case against Trump. But don't go to any open-air festivals this weekend, y'all. It could be you or your family's last one. This is the new normal. Enjoy your weekend, y'all. And the fact of the matter is, the truth of the matter is, that is exactly what the white wing and the white supremacists and the neo-Nazis want. In a civil war, they disrupt the social structure. Nobody was going to, baklava festivals in Sarajevo during that civil war. You know, the one with the Adidas tracksuits and the machine guns. I remember how stupid it sounded after 9/11 when George W. Bush said, if you don't fly to Disney World and go shopping, the terrorists win. But he was trying to convey something that he did not understand. And so naturally, therefore, it sounded fucking stupid because he was fucking stupid. He was Caligula to Trump's Nero. Caligula comes before. And see, you got Caligula. And then you get a relative period of stability with Claudius. You see where I'm going here? And then comes Nero. And Rome burns under his reign. He didn't set fire to it. He was just part of the circumstances that led it to be possible for it to burn. And like the current occupant of the White House, Nero found it much more enjoyable to be part of the public's adoration, to be a performer. He wanted to be an actor instead of an emperor. But he wound up getting something that he wasn't sure he wanted, and then was pretty sure he didn't enjoy it. There are some creepy parallels. But the thing is, the goal is to disrupt civil society, to make sure that there is no place in this country where anyone can feel safe. And they're very close to having gotten away with what they set out to do. Meanwhile, they on their side, they say they have to have all those fucking guns because they don't feel safe in their homes. And yet there's no one invading their homes. It's all blue smoke and mirrors. Somewhere far back in the annals of the Horn Archives, I talked at length about the fact that the entire goal of the NRA was to set up an insurrection against constitutional governance. And I stand by it to this day. So we've gone over a little bit. Thank you, Lady B, for another trenchant observation. Hope you didn't mind me sort of dialoguing in real time with what you wrote. That's it for this week. And what a week. Yeah, I'm afraid of what the weekend will bring. I'm afraid of what I'll see when I wake up at 5:28 a.m. like on Sunday morning. But despite the fear, you've got to keep going. Just like, you know, try to keep this going as long as I can. So, again, thank you to all of you who keep this going. Thank you to all of you who engage in this program in whatever manner you do. Thank you to our all-volunteer staff. Thank you this evening to Sparky in the chat room and in the around the Extraordinary Ordinary Roundtable. Thank you to our news ninjas. Thank you, Brother Deacon Asa, head on .live. Thank you, John Fox in Australia. Thank you, Ben Birch, WhiteRoseSociety.org. Thanks to the hardest working, bravest people I know, the men and women of Coal River Mountain Watch, CRMW.net. 20 years at the forefront of the struggle for human rights and environmental justice in Appalachia. And always, 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 Gina, it's all for you. Have a great weekend, everybody.